If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
This time of the year, there should be a hotline you can call with questions about cooking turkeys. A special 800 number where the phones are staffed by experts.
There is.
What do you mean?
The Butterball Hotline.
And it was also then syndicated all over the country as well, right?
Well, it wasn't syndicated. It was on a network.
Right, but the next version of the show.
It was live on the network.
Right, but then once that show ended, the next version of it, there was a syndicated version as well, right?
No. The next version of it was on Nickelodeon.
Ralph the host, I was thinking, like, this guy's a little bit of a tool at first.
Absolutely goddamn right.
Why isn't Pluto a planet anymore?
I'm sorry?
Why isn't Pluto a planet anymore?
Pluto's not a planet anymore?
That's what I heard.
I don't believe it. Where'd you get your source?
I heard on the news.
Planets don't just disappear.
We can still believe if we want to.
And now,
how about that Pluto?
Our feature presentation.
That was Bean's favorite planet.
Yeah, that hurt me, man. I'm still sore over that one.
I, of course, don't have that category.
Are you on fire, Bean, because they're trying to give Carl Sagan a stamp and your dude hasn't gotten one yet? How's that make you feel?
That's the other thing is Bean was trying desperately to get the guy who discovered Pluto his own stamp.
Right.
Not kidding.
And he'll still get one, by the way. I'm still convinced he will get one.
And Bean's still convinced he will get one, even though it's no longer a planet.
He will. And I'll tell you when he's going to get one. He's going to get one on his 100th birthday. That's when he's going to get one.
Okay.
So I got about another 5 years or something like that. I mean, I'm just speculating, but that's they oftentimes will do that. They oftentimes will wait for an anniversary like that. And Carl Sagan is so much more well-known than Dr. Tumbaugh, so I can understand why there's a movement afoot to get Sagan the stamp.
Okay. I was hoping there wasn't crazy jealousy.
No, it's going to be fine.
Okay.
It's going to be fine.
See,
I'm
spinning
out.
War between you people.
East Coast, West Coast feud, you know.
Lisa, Kevin, and other reasonable people, if you had a favorite planet, which you probably don't, wouldn't it automatically be Earth? Like, doesn't that, I mean.
Well, you would think.
Nope.
You
Earth
think.
Sucks.
I mean,
no, Pluto's
how does
the
Earth
deal.
Not win?
Well, Darfur. I had to stop voting for Earth after that.
After Darfur?
Yeah.
Now, Pluto is the deal because it's cold and distant like my heart. But let me change subjects for just one second because I need some help from Lisa May.
All right.
You, of course, were like me. You were watching the Westminster Dog Show last night, right?
Of course.
Yeah. Here's Fred Rogen this morning discussing the winner. And then I got a question for you.
Finally to New York, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Kevin, I see the look on your face. Did you not see it? Did you miss it again this year?
Well, yeah, of course I missed it again this year. And I love the fact that he leads off at the moment you've all been waiting for.
Well, it's the Westminster
Dog
Show.
He says, ironically.
It's huge. You know that.
That's what she said.
Madison Square Garden, it is time to name the...
You understand it's held at Madison Square Garden, right, Kevin?
Yeah, I know it's huge. So's Oprah's audience. Doesn't make me like it.
Winner at the Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show. Your 7 finalists are Remy the Standard Poodle, Macy the Akita, Marge the Weinerheimer, Deuce the Australian Shepherd, Uno the Beagle, Charmin the Sealyham Terrier, and finally, Vicky, the toy poodle. Tough to judge that one, but your winner is Uno the Beagle. He actually received a standing ovation.
Outrageous.
The cute little guy is the first ever beagle to win at the Westminster Dog Show.
Now, the first thing I thought is, and maybe you can help me out with this, Lisa, is I didn't catch the winner's name. Can you? What
Uno.
Was it? I'm sorry?
Uno.
It was what?
Uno. Uno.
There you go. That was the longest setup ever.
Mike had to actually.
Come on, Lisa.
No.
Well, Bean, for God's sake,
this isn't a game I played for very long.
You can't take her on a 100-mile trip and then expect her to still be paying attention at the end of it.
Excuse me. When the answer is Uno, it should be pretty obvious what her job is.
Wow.
I'm sorry. I thought your Spanish was failing.
I was obsessed with the fact that Fred Rogan's hitting the sauce again, apparently.
No, why?
Listen
why
to
would
him.
You say that?
Listen to him.
You didn't see how cute Uno was.
Listen to play
that.
It again. Play Fred again, and you tell me he's not drinking.
He's not drinking. He's
I'm
totally
saying,
fine.
Listen to it again.
He was just excited as we all were about
sure.
the.
Finally, to New York, the moment you've all been waiting for, to Madison Square Garden. It is time to name the winner at the Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show.
Now, what's your problem with that?
Let it roll.
Keep going. Okay.
Your 7 finalists are Remy the Standard Poodle, Macy the Akita,
okay,
Marge the Weinerheimer.
All right,
I think he's trying to be like a racetrack.
I know that's what you
like
think,
that.
But that's because you don't know alcohol and you don't have any part in it. Clearly you smashed.
You sound more like you're drinking right now than Fred sounds on this tape.
How dare you?
Deuce, the Australian
Deuce,
Shepherd.
The Australian Shepherd.
Odo, the Beagle. Charmin, the Sealyham Terrier. And finally, Vicky, the toy poodle.
This is a mess.
I don't hear that at all, but no, it's very exciting. Hey, who won, Lisa?
Oh, no.
Yay!
Wow, this show has taken a very bad start.
It's not my fault.
You don't have to play. You're the one who's on the outside looking in, Kevin, this time. The rest of us all
Beagles
appreciate the magic.
Cute,
yeah, they are cute.
I voted for the
I think people. When you're talking about a subject, if I'm on the outside looking in, that's right where I want to be. I think I'm good with that.
But in this particular case, Lisa's with me. I know Mike's with me. Assistant producer Alex is already text messaging me how much he loved Uno. I mean, you missed a great show last night.
I am happy that like a normal looking dog won. You know?
Yeah.
Like, how do you people all have ideas of who should have won the dog show? What's wrong with you?
Because we have dogs.
So do I.
Well, then you get to vote.
Well, I don't want to vote.
Well, then you're wrong.
It's hard to argue with that.
I don't know what to
tell. Do you want to see a picture of the dog?
No.
So
what's
cute.
The intro? Why am I interested in that?
See, look. Not looking. He's covering his eyes.
It's a pretty cute dog, Kevin.
It's
pretty
adorable.
Cute.
I just think your level of enthusiasm is nutty. You
well,
people are
you
nutty.
Why don't you tell that to the network that airs it and the people that sell out Madison Square Garden to see it in person?
Who airs it?
I don't remember what
channel. USA Network.
USA.
Yeah, okay. Wow.
That's us.
That's
USA.
Huge.
USA.
Sick. So now you hate dogs and you hate America.
No. I hate
Grandma?
USA, the network.
How about Grandma? How about the apple pie? How about the flag? Do you hate all that too?
Oh, nice try. Just because I'm not a nut job, watch the dog show and come in the next morning and discuss which one should have won, BS.
You don't know, man. You don't know.
I'm fine with that, I'm saying.
You don't know.
All right. It's good morning, everybody. It's Wednesday, the 13th of February, Ola. Bad start to the show, but it'll turn around. We'll get it going in the right direction.
I believe we've peaked. I think that's the best
you
thing you're going to hear all day.
I know. On this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, we are going to talk to Rachel Bilson.
And that's not his hand. Well done.
About a half hour from now. In the new movie Jumper.
Mm-hmm.
Opening tomorrow.
Looks good.
Yes, she does. Oh, you mean the movie or she?
She.
Yeah, that's what I thought, yeah. Also on today's show, Ask a Dominatrix.
Ooh, interesting.
Oh, yeah.
In the continuing Ask series, we stole Ask a Mexican.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just changed it to a bunch of different things for us. And this time it's Ask a Dominatrix. We actually had somebody that works here at K-Rock say, I think I want to be a dominatrix. Can you guys do an Ask a Dominatrix so I can come in and take hints? And I would just like to say to this employee, you don't need any hints. You're well on your way. But she's coming in today and we're going to do Ask a Dominatrix.
Cool.
So very excited about that. Dave, the King of Mexico, is going to come in and tell her that she's fat. And I can't wait for that. He was mouthing off yesterday about that. Fat! She's fat.
Oh, the dominatrix?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Also, today we're going to talk to Ally Dixon, runs the Cheaters Detective Agency.
Yeah!
Oh,
fantastic.
Boy.
And
just in time for Valentine's Day.
Busiest time of the year.
No kidding.
14th of February. He follows people around. It's too much work to handle.
I guess he figures that if you're... significant other is having an affair, they're going to sneak out at some point on February 14th to see that person as well. So if you got a tail on them, then you'll find out.
Or send flowers or something. I mean, they have ways of tracking what you do, and he's got all the business he can handle every year at this time. Also, we're going to talk about the Hezbollah Jew-hating cartoon, which sounds like a punchline, but unfortunately isn't.
It's true.
So we'll tell you about that this morning. We got Terry O'Quinn from Lost.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be on the program, John Locke. Can't wait. So love that show. D.L. Hughley talking about the NAACP Image Awards. I'm up for two this year. Very excited about that.
Congratulations.
Yep, thank you.
Have they seen you?
I hope I win. And Kevin and Bean's Love on the Rock Singles Party. We're going to give away some more tickets. That is tomorrow night. So you're, of course, running out of time. We got a bunch of tickets to give away today. And K-Rock's World Tour Destination Number 6, Panic at the Disco in Zurich. You can qualify with tickets to see him at the Honda Civic Tour. The tickets for that go on sale this Saturday at 10 a.m. And you'll qualify with those tickets, and then we'll do the drawing on Friday to send somebody to Zurich, Switzerland. How about that?
Nice.
And we're going to talk a lot about which dog was cutest and should have won the dog show.
You know.
It's not you know, it's Uno.
It's Uno.
Come on.
Whatever.
Even I know that, and I hate the topic.
No, I meant you know.
Oh, okay.
That's what I meant.
Oh, you meant you know. Yeah. Okay. All right, good. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Guys, Rachel Bilson's going to be on our show in like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Don't creep her out.
I don't think mentally I have the time to prepare for that. I think I'm going to need more time.
Do not creep her out.
Did you think did you think the Beagle should have won or the Weimaraner?
Thank you, Ralph. Thank you.
Come on. Tell me Reggie and you didn't sit there and watch that show last night.
Not in a million years.
Keep
well,
talking.
He said to me,
Kevin, you're just on the outside on this one. Everyone loves it.
Everyone does love it.
No, look, the only people who love it are the pet parents of the world.
No, that's not true.
Take five beagles, put them in a room. You're going to say, damn, those are cute dogs. But you can't say, oh, look at that one. That one is so much cuter than the others.
The other one won.
Please give... Oh, it all hail Uno.
But that's what one of the things that's fascinating to me, and I don't want to get back into this topic really, is that I couldn't be a judge because I don't understand the standards of the breed. Remember, they're not looking for the cutest dog. They're looking for the dog who most exemplifies what the breed what the breed is supposed to be, the perfection in the breed. And that's what's fascinating is to see how those judges work. I think that's one of the things I like about it. How about you, Lisa?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, absolutely.
So he says, there's not there's so many people watch. And how do they sell out Madison Square Garden?
I don't know. How does Miley Cyrus sell out Madison Square Garden?
The people love her. That's
yes,
how.
But she's bad. And so is your dog show.
I think Bean is uniquely unqualified to use the word everybody. I don't think he understands everybody.
Nobody's less part of everybody than Bean.
Can't get his head around it. He doesn't know everybody.
I don't mean literally everybody.
I know
I'm
you don't
saying,
mean that, but I'm saying generalities.
I'm saying I'm hardly a freak for enjoying the dog show because clearly millions do. That's all. It's not like this is some bizarre subset
of people.
Like
a lot of bad things. You can't use popularity as a qualifier.
He always
goes,
I agree.
Always.
I agree. And you also can't use popularity to say that something's bad either.
That's correct.
Which is what you're doing.
No, nope,
not
at all.
You can't do that.
How am I using popularity to say something's bad?
We're not saying that at all. We're saying it's bad.
Judging it on its merits.
No.
The dog show is bad. There, I said it. It has nothing to do with anyone else. The show is just bad.
Right. But when I say it's popular and you say lots of bad things are popular, you're kind of drawing an assumption that it's that's why it's popular and bad, and it's not.
I'm saying a lot of good things are popular, a lot of bad things are popular. Popularity is not the dividing
we're
point.
We're denying
I
your
agree
argument
with that, by the way.
That because it's popular, it's good. That's what we're doing.
I'm
you
not
bring
that.
Up that. You
I'm
say everybody
that.
Likes it. We say
no. You can keep going on all you want. That's not what I'm saying. It's not what I said at all, actually. I'm just saying I'm hardly in a tiny subset of people who like it. It is immensely popular. That's all I'm saying. So there may be something there among those other people who believe it's good that you're missing. That's all I'm suggesting.
Or it's bad.
One of the two.
Or that's the option.
Yeah.
Well, that's not the case this time, but there are some things that are.
Are we done with this?
I certainly hope so. Bean gets to decide what's good or bad.
Not at all. Nor do you, though. That's the point. It is a difference of opinion. Lisa, what's the dog that won? Do you remember?
Oh, no. Yeah!
That we can all agree is good.
I bet you can't get a boner.
That's my last point.
But I bet, too.
Ralph with the Showbiz Beat.
Just run Best in Show if you want to see the people who like dogs.
Yeah.
Dog shows. That's all you need to know.
That's a documentary, right?
That's absolutely. Truer than true. Well, congratulations, I guess, to Gary Coleman and his new wife.
Why?
Oh, really?
He got married?
Yeah.
Gary Coleman?
Apparently he got married back in August, but he's been keeping it a secret.
Why? Because
Gary Coleman, of course, the little midget from Different Strokes.
What do you mean, why?
You don't know.
Paparazzi, dude, everywhere. You know?
He doesn't want to be besieged
right.
by the press. Yeah, apparently he married a 22-year-old.
Oh, come
dude.
On.
Named Shannon Price on a mountaintop in Nevada. But they've been keeping their vows under wraps, he told Inside Edition.
Oh, that's so secretive.
Yeah. Apparently, she's a pretty sporty-looking actress, by the way.
Do we
and
know?
She married Gary Coleman.
Yes.
Virgin, Gary
That's
Coleman.
What I was going to ask. Do we know if he's still claiming to be a virgin?
I'm assuming now that he's married, he's not making that claim any longer.
But till he got married?
That's what he always said.
He's been his whole life saying virgin.
That's what he's always said.
Wow, she's a lucky, lucky girl.
She sure
I've
is.
I've seen the story a bunch, but I haven't seen any photos of the wedding or of her. So I'm eager to see what kind of woman Gary Coleman can snag.
Well, you can Google her to see some photos. They appeared on in a movie together named Church Ball. A comedy from 2006.
She's not.
We missed that.
She's not overwhelmingly hot.
Still,
no, but
it
Gary
doesn't matter.
Coleman
she married
levels?
Gary Coleman. Come on.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's not rich. It's not like you know she married him for the money.
The reason they kept their wedding secret is because she wants to be seen as her own person, she claims. I just want my own identity as well, because I don't want to be known as Gary Coleman's wife.
Well, that's a good start.
Either of you know what the hell's going on in the world? No one cares about Gary Coleman or Gary Coleman's wife.
You're not going to be known as anything.
You would have more trouble trying to live down if you were married to Uno the Beagle. Freaking Gary Coleman. Britney Spears may be working her way back to sanity.
Really?
Yeah.
Apparently, well, I think that would be good.
On Monday night, she treated a group of kids to a dance lesson.
Uh-oh.
At the Millennium Dance Complex in Los Angeles.
Was there a pole involved?
No, there was not.
Okay, good.
Apparently, there was a kids' dance class going on, and she showed up and volunteered to teach the six kids who were there some moves. Apparently, according to People Magazine, the parents, who, as you can imagine, were starstruck when they bring their kids to a dance class, and Britney Spears is the guest instructor.
Or scared to death.
Yeah, one of the two.
They all said to a person how amazed they were how well she got along with the kids. So maybe she's on her meds and she's starting to behave like a person. It's nice to have a positive story about Britney Spears once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Not funny, but positive.
Few and far between.
Yeah.
All this video and photos we've seen of her at the dance studio, is she making a video for another one of the songs on her Stiff album? Are they still working that project? They're trying to bring that back?
I think so. That's what they.
I don't know about that.
That's what I heard, is that why she was rehearsing for that.
Anybody have Baron Hilton in the DUI pool?
Didn't know he existed.
Yeah. Nope. Baron Hilton is the baby brother to Paris and Nikki. 18 years old, by the way. Popped. Driving down the PCH in Malibu, 8:30 yesterday morning, loaded.
8:30 in the morning,
those are Kevin hours.
That's hardcore there.
Yeah. Parents have to be so proud.
Yeah, they got a bunch of good kids.
Yeah.
Nikki should say, hey, give me all the money.
Yes.
Look at them, and then look at me, and then give me all the money. I've got a successful fashion line. I'm not in prison.
Yep.
I haven't been arrested. Give me all the money.
Yeah.
Then anyone would have to say, she's right. Give her all the money. Apparently, he was so blasted, cops say he could barely talk. He clocked in with a 0.14 blood alcohol content.
Oh, wow.
Keep in mind that 0.08 is the legal limit. So
this is a mess.
That's double right there.
Wow.
Yeah. This is the best part of the story. Sources tell TMZ.com that he rammed into an employee at a 76 gas station just before getting pulled over.
He hit a person?
Yeah. I think he was getting gas or something and he nudged her with a car or whatever.
Oh, I
see. He didn't run her over, but yeah. So at the time of this story, bail is set at $5,000. And we'll follow it as it goes along.
And he had that in his pocket.
18 years old.
Sure.
Congratulations, Baron Hilton.
Baron.
I believe Baron was Grandpa's name or something. Founder of the Hilton Hotel franchise.
Hmm.
It's all over between Benji Madden and Sophie Monk.
Good.
Yeah, that's the right thing. Sophie Monk, for those you don't know, is the smoking hot model actress. Maybe you saw her on Entourage. She's been dating Benji Madden for some time. And they say the decision was mutual. And they're still good friends.
It always is and they always are.
Yep. Yes. Couple met during a Good Charlotte video shoot in 2006 and became engaged a year ago, but apparently things aren't working out.
Ralph, what you don't understand about Hollywood is that people only break up if they're getting along great and have mutual respect and love for one another.
There's a lot of love when they break up.
Yeah.
Not so much with the regular folk. And speaking of regular folk, Carmen Electra, excuse me, Carmen Electra.
She's regular folk?
Well, you'll wait. Just wait. Just right. Wait. Easy there.
Sorry.
She says that the best place to pick up men for her is in the supermarket.
In the supermarket.
That's where she likes to meet guys.
Doesn't she meet guys everywhere she goes? I can't imagine she can walk outside without having a swarm around her.
She tells the New York Daily News that the best approach for men is to compliment her. That's a good idea. Why didn't we think of
that? Wait a minute. Compliment?
And she says, regarding the kind of guys she dates, normal guys absolutely have a shot with her. Regular guys absolutely have a shot.
Please.
Like Dave Navarro? Is that what you're talking
about? That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So any regular fella.
Wow.
I've got some tickets to give away to a very special event next Tuesday. Will be the red carpet world premiere of a little movie I like to call Semi-Pro.
And you like to call it that.
Well, that's what they titled it.
That's the name of it.
Yeah. It's Will Ferrell's new comedy. It is hilarious. I had a chance to see it last week. I'm guaranteeing you, you will laugh and love it. Andre Benjamin, by the way, is awesome in this film. Also co-stars Woody Harrelson, Will Arnett from Arrested Development. Just a great cast of very funny people. It comes out on the 29th of February, but you get to see it well before anybody else at the Red Carpet World Premiere. You get to see all the stars entering in as well. So if you'd like to attend, I want to give this to a real Will Ferrell fan. So here's your trivia question. Will is not the first member of his immediate family to be in show business.
Correct.
That is correct, Kevin, yes.
Do I win?
No. His dad was also in show business. His dad was a musician.
Named Baron?
No.
No.
And worked with a hugely popular 60s band. If you can name the band, call now. 1-800-520-1067. First caller through with the correct answer. Who did Will Ferrell's dad play with? Musically.
Oh.
1-800-520-1067. First caller to get through wins a pair of tickets to Semi-Pro, the world premiere.
That is, that's deep trivia right there, man.
Hey, look, I just gotta make people work for it.
I just assumed he was part of the Ferrell's ice cream chain fortune. That's where I thought he came from.
See? That's what they'd like you to believe.
Good rep. Yeah.
But no. Get that pig's dinner. Whatever they used to have.
Pig trough.
Pig trough.
Yeah, that's insane. Good.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Jerry Springer. Jerry. 64 years old today.
Yesterday, Jerry had a guy on who fell in love with his fishing partner.
Brokeback Pond?
Pretty much.
Is that what it was? Peter Gabriel.
Yes.
Legendary singer, songwriter, of course, with Genesis for many years and a very successful solo career. He is 58 years old today. Henry Rollins. One of Mike's favorites.
He's cool.
He is pretty cool. He is 47 years old today. Kelly Hugh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
From Scorpion King and X-Men.
She's beautiful girl.
40 years old today. And David Naughton. We celebrate this day every year. David Naughton.
Not familiar with that guy.
He was the Dr. Pepper dude.
I know.
Beer Pepper.
Yeah. I know.
He was also an American Werewolf in London. He was the American Werewolf actually in London in the film.
Mm-hmm.
He also had the smash hit song, Making It. Yeah. Based on the TV series by the same name.
And every year you guys celebrate this guy as if he's someone.
He's the best.
I love him so much.
David Naughton.
Neither of you do.
Something we can all agree on.
I got to pull up some Making It later in the show because that's one of the great songs ever.
Went to iTunes for you first thing this morning, Ralph, and they don't have Making It
that's
on
impossible.
iTunes. That's ridiculous.
They have everything. I got a chance, I'm taking it.
Shouldn't it tell you something?
No more.
That it's
no
not
more
on iTunes?
Making it.
That's too good. That's what it tells me.
Too hot for iTunes to handle?
Exactly.
Woo-hoo-hoo.
It does have the double clap.
Oh,
you're right.
I'm
it's
so
the dreaded double clap
it.
Of gayness.
We're so getting some Making It.
Mm.
I love him so much.
I don't
much.
See that happening.
We have an answer to my trivia question.
All right. We have a winner, believe it or not.
Her name is Michelle from Eagle Rock.
Michelle?
Yes?
Will Ferrell's dad played with a legendary 60s band. What band was that?
The Righteous Brothers.
The Righteous Brothers. Lee Ferrell,
what did he do?
Lee Ferrell played keyboard and saxophone
for
the Righteous Brothers.
No kidding.
Now, did you know that or did you have to go to the internet quick?
Believe it or not, I knew that.
Oh, my God.
Well, you're just the kind of person I want to see on the red carpet on Tuesday for the world premiere of Semi-Pro. Maybe Lee will be there and we can rock out.
Okay.
She's not down with that.
She's not down with that, no. Stay on the line. We'll give you all the details. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Look, we all know how that one ends, for God's sake. So let's just turn it off and let's move on because we got somebody on the phone we want to talk to.
I think you could have made that decision 4 minutes ago. We'd have been happy. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 6:10 on, let me see, today's Wednesday. That means tomorrow is Valentine's Day. And you're thinking, what do I want to do tomorrow? Well, why not go see Jumper, available everywhere, from director Doug Liman, who's just one of my favorites, by the way. He did Swingers and Go and The Bourne Identity. The guy's a terrific director. And when I found out Rachel Bilson was in the movie, I said, I'm there. And she's on the phone with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Rachel.
Good morning, guys.
Great to talk to you. So,
yeah,
Jumper. Jumper, a little bit different for you, doing a little something you haven't done before, right?
Yeah, I could definitely say it's a little different. but it was really fun. It's great to, you know, be involved with this kind of movie and to work with Doug Liman and do all that stuff. I'm really excited about it. I think everyone's going to really like it.
Is this the kind of thing like Hero on that TV show Heroes, where he just blinks his eyes and he can go anywhere he wants to go?
Yeah, I know. They explore teleportation a bit on that show.
Oh,
I haven't
that's
seen much
good.
Of it, but yeah, someone told me about it. So that's really cool so people are familiar with it.
I need to do that.
Yeah, I know. It's a really good power to have, isn't it?
Now, you don't have the power in the movie, right?
I don't have the power. But I get pulled along unwillingly. But that's okay. You know, I don't have to do the work.
You become like the girlfriend of Hayden Christensen before you realize he's a jumper.
Right.
And yes, how exactly does he explain that?
Movie there.
Well, see, that's why we couldn't be trusted with the ability to jump.
No, I think we would abuse the privilege, I think is what happens. So forgive us because we haven't had a chance to see you, but he can take you places with him around the world as he teleports by just hanging on to you as he blinks his eyes or whatever?
Yeah, basically they can, you know, take anyone if they touch them or, you know, take their hand or whatever.
That's
they
can, cool.
Yeah, take them wherever. Yeah, anywhere around the world.
And what's up Samuel Jackson's ass? Why does he hate you? Why does he want to kill you?
Well, I'm sort of the bait. So, it's nothing personal.
He doesn't want to kill you. Why does he want to kill Hayden Christensen?
Because his character hunts jumpers. They have a whole other group of people called Paladins, and their thing is to hunt the jumpers and kill them.
Why can't they just be happy that someone
can
jump?
Why can't they all just get along, you know?
Yeah,
right, exactly.
You get that.
Now, you mentioned Sam Jackson. He seems like, and we've, you know, been lucky enough to have him on the show a few times, but obviously we've never worked with him like you did. He seems like the kind of guy who would be so much fun on a movie set. Like, you'd look forward to going into work every day if you knew you had Mother F and Sam Jackson there.
Yeah, you know what? He's got great energy and full of it, you know, and he's so cool and such a nice guy. He was so great to, you know, I don't know. I didn't know what to expect. I was a little intimidated, but he was very, very nice. And very badass.
He is badass, that's for sure.
He's the only person that can be nice and badass at the same time.
I know,
somehow,
right?
He
it's
pulls
a good
that
combination
off.
To have, I think.
Now, did you do a lot of this in front of a green screen, or how do you, or did you actually jump? I don't know how this worked.
Well, you know, there was some green screen stuff, but we did go to a lot of locations. I went to Rome, and we shot in the Colosseum, which was really cool.
That's pretty cool.
About 50 years or so, and you know, it was amazing just to be in there alone and shooting there. Very unique experience, definitely. But, yeah, they were all over the world. They shot in Tokyo and all sorts of cool places.
Rachel, this is Bean speaking here, and I got lucky enough to go to Italy for the first time in my life last year. And I went
to
the Colosseum, too. And it really it was beautiful, and it was historic, and you're glad to be there. But wasn't it kind of creepy to be standing there in the Colosseum and see those essentially those cages and those tunnels that they used to drag people and force people to go through to fight? I mean, didn't you kind of get, like, weird juju vibe from that place?
Well, you know, yeah, the feeling inside there, I mean, you can just feel it. And especially we were there in the morning, you know, as the sun's coming up, no one else is inside, so the eerie factor was definitely
cool.
There.
Cool.
Yeah. It was cool, but at the same time, you definitely feel that.
Yeah, you stand there and you go, bad things happened here, like right where I'm standing.
Yeah.
And you just, I don't know, it's just kind of icky. All right, Rachel Bilson is on the phone. We're talking about Jumper, of course, which is perfect for the date for Valentine's Day tomorrow. We have a couple other quick things we need to ask you about. Our phone screener, Dave, the King of Mexico, Clippers fan number one, is trying to convince us that you're on board with rooting for the L.A. Clippers. True or false?
It's true.
Oh, another one.
That hurts.
I know. I haven't been following along as much. My dad had season tickets for 11 years. So
okay, so you come by it naturally, and you're not that big a fan. That's what you're saying.
No, I am. Mm. I I've fallen off a little. I'm sorry.
See, we have been beating up Dave for years for his unnatural love for the Clippers, and then every once in a while he'll come on and go, well, you know, I saw Kristen Bell at the game the other night, and we'll be like, oh, if Kristen Bell likes the Clippers, then we can't just, and now he's putting you on the list, and it just kind of makes us nervous.
You know, what's funny is I'm friends with Kristen, so we can team up.
There you go.
Go to the games. Yeah, exactly. Oh, I've always wanted to hear you say that. All right, last question for me, Rachel. I know you're a dog lover, dog owner. Did you watch the dog show last night? Did you see Westminster last night?
You are not asking Rachel Bilson this.
No, it's okay because I'm in New York and I'm so disappointed I couldn't go to it. I love that stuff.
tell me you T-voted. I don't want to spoil it for you, but tell me you T-voted so you can watch it when you get home.
No, I didn't, but do you know what kind of dog won?
No.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do. As
yes,
a matter of fact,
do.
For the first time ever, a beagle won the show last night.
Oh, no, that's my least favorite kind of dog.
Well, you're going to have to write a strongly worded letter then.
It's very cute.
Beagle ate my face when I was 3 years old. I'm not a fan.
So you're not a fan of dogs that eat your face when you're 3 years old?
No, yeah.
I can understand why you personally would not be pleased, but when you see little Uno, I think he's going to melt your heart, Rachel. I don't think you're going to be disappointed. Really?
I disagree with you on that one.
Good. Good. All right.
Well, that's too bad, but you're generally on board as long as a beagle doesn't win.
Yes.
Fantastic. Great. The movie is called Jumper, opens up everywhere tomorrow. Hayden Christensen, Samuel L. Jackson, and of course, Rachel Bilson, who frankly, for my money, we don't have on the show often enough, Rachel. It's always good to talk to you, my dear. Thanks a lot for your time today.
All right, thank you, guys.
Thank you. Bye now. let's talk about the Middle East, shall we?
Okay.
Come on, people. Let's discuss this like adults.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding.
What do
you
got?
You know how every once in a while when somebody says, oh, is it possible that a black man could become president? And your first my first reaction is to go, what? That's ridiculous to even suggest that he couldn't.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
oh, I thought you were going to say that he could. Okay,
no, it's hard to imagine that there are still people out there that think the color of a person's skin makes any difference whatsoever. I mean, yeah. It's so just 2 centuries ago. You know what I mean? It's ridiculous. But in the Middle East, they hate themselves, the Jews. And it is not a joke. They really train their children to hate. And remember when they had that fake Mickey Mouse? It was like a Mickey Mouse lookalike that was teaching kids to hate Jews.
Yes.
Of course. Yeah.
And he
got beaten to death on the TV show. That's how they got rid of the characters. He got beaten to death by Israeli soldiers. That's right. That was the exit of that character.
That's how – I know it sounds ridiculous, but that's really what they did. And then didn't they have the Bee of Hate or something?
They had the Bee of Hate.
The
Bee of Hate died. If I remember correctly, he died because he had some medical condition and couldn't get past the filthy Zionists to get to the hospital.
Yes.
So he died like in the street. That was the plot line for his death.
Well, they moved on. Mickey Mouse dead. Bee of Hate gone. Now it's Bugs Bunny. And here's a report from CNN.
A Bugs Bunny lookalike has appeared on a Hamas TV show for kids in Gaza. I will finish off the Jews and eat them, he says. Hamas used a Mickey Mouse lookalike to preach jihad against the U.S. and Israel last year, but after worldwide outrage, the show was canceled. But not before Mickey was beaten to death by Israeli troops.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
All right. Lightning, I believe, has the TV station. Hello?
What's up, Jew?
Oh, no.
Come on.
Is this Asud the Bomber Bunny?
Yeah, it is. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're fine, but I don't understand why you need to have a TV show that preaches hate of anyone to little children.
Not anyone. Just the Jews.
Right, but... but why?
What's up, Zionist?
You urge your young audience to liberate Tel Aviv through resistance. Your program ends with a catchy theme song, "We Will Never Recognize Israel."
That's right. Oh, murder.
This just sounds too ridiculous to be true. It's hard to imagine.
What a maroon. What an imbecile. I will eat all the Jews, see? I'll eat them up like carrots.
Sounds like a hell of a show.
Do you know what the ratings are like for this, for your particular show?
Oh, I'm huge.
Yeah?
The kids love me.
Yeah.
What's more fun than having kids sitting there eating a bowl of sugary cereal, thinking about eating and killing Jews? That's a good time.
I think a lot of things would be more fun, it sounds like, to me.
Why? Are you a Jew?
Well, no.
Well, no, but I don't know what the advantage is of preaching little kids to hate anybody based on nothing other than their religion.
Well, they won't get out of the Gaza Strip.
Right.
That's why I gotta go get that hunter, Elmer Jew. I'm gonna get him.
I don't think that's his
name. That crazy duck, Jewy Duck.
Come on.
Really? This is the show.
It's a good time for all the kids.
Can't you guys come up with something on your own to preach hate?
No.
What's going on there in the background? What are those noises?
It's the wacky comedy.
Okay.
Are you?
Hey, look at that Jew. We just killed another one.
Oh, that's terrible.
Horrible.
I just hit him with a big hammer. Hey, look, an anvil just fell on a Jew.
Oh, it's funnier when it's animated, to tell you the truth.
Hey, look. I just gave a Jew a big stick of dynamite.
Please don't do this. Please stop.
Wow, that Jew blew up good.
Oh, that's awful.
Wow.
Hey, Asud, are you worried about your predecessors? You saw what happened to Farfur the Mouse. You saw what happened to Naul the Bee. I mean, don't you think that it's just a matter of time before the worldwide protest makes them kill you off on the TV show?
That might happen, but don't worry. We got a lot of other characters behind me waiting to take my place.
Is that right? Like what?
Well, we got a new superhero.
Okay.
Spider Jew.
Okay. Okay.
There's a lot of other characters we could use.
And then when he dies, then what?
Porky the Palestinian. Abri, abri, abri. That's all, Jew.
I was going to call my cable company for Hamas TV, but I think I'm going to pass now.
Tomorrow, Christmas episode, I kill Uno, the Jew Beagle.
Now you've gone too far. And our old friend D.L. Hughley is going to be here, too. He's hosting the NAACP Image Awards, which, Kevin, you say you're up for two this year?
Two, yes.
Oh, congratulations.
But two of the biggest, so I'm proud.
Okay, I hope you win Album of the Year or whatever they have.
Most black white guy.
What do they give you on I guess we could ask DL, but what kinds of awards did they give you? Is like blackest actor or what?
All I know is most black white guy. That's all I know. That's my main category that I've been shooting for all my life.
All right.
Afroline 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day, any topic.
Hey guys, guess what? Not raining.
Yeah.
Which is a shame because, you know, we need it. How about that?
Yeah.
Good point. Sure. Be sure to tell Ralph that if you run into him in the event that it's raining.
Remember when we talked to Psycho Mike's wife and she was going to the Pro Bowl in Hawaii for, it seemed like it was more than a week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
With NFL star Tony Gonzalez.
That's right.
And basically she was going to be candy to be passed around from player to player. Well, this call is about that.
Yeah, I'd like to book Psycho Mike's wife for a spring break in Rosarito.
Okay. No worries. I think she's available. We'll check her schedule.
Is it true, Mike, that they took her off the plane in a wheelchair? Is that true?
Yes.
She returned home.
With a sidecar for the drapery.
Once again, you've got to take it just too far. I think I made the point adequately.
There Will Be Blood is the movie. The line that everybody's quoting is, I drink your milkshake. Because it doesn't make a lot of sense and it's funny.
Lisa May, I will drink your panties.
Okay.
I will drink them.
All right. Okay, thank you.
It's really nice.
Hey, guys, I had a really terrible one-night stand. Picked up this hot chick. We go back to her place. She gives me some wine. It tastes like real weird. I'm like, what's with this wine? She says, oh, I put sweet low in it. Mm. Well, anyway, I shrug that off, and we're doing it, you know. And then I feel something cold on me. It's her dog's nose. She's got these rat dogs.
In bed?
I go, okay, that's it. I'm out of the mood. I'm scrambling. And she says, oh, no, just wait. We'll watch some videos. She pulls out the box set of Brothers and Sisters. What the hell is that? Is that a TV show? That one-night stand was the worst.
Wow,
I'm sorry
horrible.
You had to endure that.
It
that
sounds
does sound
like
bad.
A dream come true to me.
Sounds horrible. I would like to give that guy points for bringing back the word scramming. So I'm scramming.
It's working!
Oh, this is a call that we got yesterday. The listener very, very excited because we did something yesterday that we have tried since the first day of 1990, which is to call a foreign country and ask him questions about a story.
Oh.
And that's when this guy called.
It's working! Kevin and Bean are calling another country, and it's actually working! It's a success! Take that, Ralph! They drink your milkshake! They drink it up!
See, the problem is, we've been able to get through. We've been able to dial another country, but the person on the other end either doesn't speak any English, which is just so frustrating for you, the listener, because it's us trying to somehow magically get them to understand what we're calling about.
Sure.
Or they do speak a little bit of English, but they've never heard of the story we're calling about, so they can never add anything to it. And that's why yesterday was the perfect storm. We were able to get everything, like, firing on all cylinders. It was pretty sweet.
And we're happy with that success rate. 1 out of 100. We're good with that.
Sure.
100?
That means we got another 99 to go before we hit another good one, but that's the way it works.
All right. Great. In May, the post office is raising the price of stamps again. Thanks a lot, Bean.
Bean.
Hell yeah. Stupid Best Bean. Value in America.
Only Bean would say hell yeah about raising prices. I'm not sure who this is. I think I have an idea.
Kevin and Bean, this is Mr. Dean. Did you see that? Did you see that? Jericho return? Jake is the man. Watch it next week, 10 p.m. CBS. Tuesday night. Nuts.
Is he in a convertible when making that call?
I don't know what's going on.
Do you think if he just watched that TV show, he'd be indoors?
You're right, yes.
What the hell is going on with that?
Maybe Yasmin makes him watch it on the porch or something. He's not allowed in the house when it's Jericho time. I don't know.
We've given you this recommendation for quite some time.
Kevin and Bean, your show is so much cooler when I'm high.
I think that's very true. If you don't enjoy the show, smoke out and then try it, and I think it'll be a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, we did a topic that I think was a high mark for the show. Perhaps the most highbrow we've ever gotten. It was stump sex.
Yeah. Say that again.
It was stump sex.
Stump sex. Sex with amputees.
Sounds even better
That's
when you say it.
That's what we did yesterday.
That's what we did, yes.
Yes.
And we had some songs.
My stump, my stump, my stump. My lovely little stump. Amputee.
So apparently not everyone found that as interesting as we did.
What?
Apparently, people needed to call and complain.
What?
So, it's hard for me to understand, but let's give it a listen.
We want the stump. Want to have that stump. Woo!
Come on!
Yes.
Boo.
We could go on forever with this! More stump songs is all I'm saying. The people demand it.
Do they?
We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz.
Ben and Cody Ben, what you would ever know.
Blatter, 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 blatter.
Dude, blatter, don't blatter. Eat on the mouse. Come on.
I like the song. I just don't understand a single word they say.
No one does. Well, maybe a lot of people don't understand a single word you say, but we're not hating on you, all right?
Wow. Sounds like you are. Sounds like you're hating on them a little bit,
quite frankly. Thank you, Ralph.
6:52, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat, and more tickets for the red carpet world premiere of the new Will Ferrell movie, I understand.
Yes, I've got tickets to give away to the red carpet world premiere of Semi-Pro. The hilarious new comedy from Will Ferrell and his friends about the ABA. Those of you too young to remember, there used to be two basketball leagues. There was the NBA and then the ABA, an upstart league that was known for its flashy behavior, its red, white, and blue striped balls.
Basketballs.
The basketballs, of course, yeah.
Balls.
Home of the dunk. You know, the dunk first got popular in the ABA.
Did it?
Yeah. And all that razzle-dazzle stuff was first done in the ABA before the two leagues merged. Takes place in the 70s. Will plays the owner of the Flint, Michigan Tropics, which if you've ever been to Flint, Michigan, you know is just a bad idea for a sports team coming out of Flint. He's Jackie Moon, a one-hit wonder disco song star who goes on to take all the proceeds from his hit record and buy himself a basketball team so he can become power forward and owner and coach of the very same team. It's a great movie. We've got the red carpet world premiere next Tuesday in Westwood at the Mann Village Theater. I'm going to be there on the red carpet talking to all the stars. And you can be there, too, if you know this answer to this Will Ferrell trivia question. Around here, one of our favorite movies of all time is The Godfather.
True.
That's true. It is true.
Right. Evan.
What?
If you've never seen it, you owe it yourself to see it. However, interestingly, Will Ferrell has played son to two of the stars of The Godfather.
No kidding.
Yeah. I, of course, worked with one of the stars, Al Pacino, in my movie. Will's got two. He's got one Godfather star more than me. That's all. Just one.
Just one more than you. What about all the other stuff, though?
One of the two movies, excuse me, that he played the son to a Godfather star in. Two different movies. Call in now. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. First person through with the correct answer wins a pair of tickets to go see Semi-Pro at the red carpet world premiere next week. It's going to be fun. Well, it's finally over.
Yes, yes, yes.
The writer's strike has been settled. It was wrapped up last night after yesterday's balloting by the guild members turned out to be 92.5% positive.
That is
for accepting the three-year contract.
That is an upset 7.5%, isn't it?
Yeah, no kidding.
So this means, I don't follow this stuff, this means Barack Obama has the nomination?
It's not the same.
Am I confused?
Yeah, just a bit.
This means we will have a fall TV season.
Yes.
And a lot of your favorite live shows are going right back into production. For instance, Saturday Night Live says it will return with an all-new show on February the 23rd. All right, it's not all good news.
I was going to say.
But still. It's good that we're going to get our TV shows back. And, of course, the
Oscars. Maybe they can hire some new writers, maybe, from the people who are now available. People now looking for work. We can get some good people in there.
There you go. The Oscar telecast, of course, will go on as scheduled. That's what everybody was worried about. There wouldn't be an Oscar. So
I know.
We've got all that going for us. So good for us.
Jon Stewart hosting the Oscars?
He is. Okay. He is indeed. Should be very entertaining. However, not all award shows fare as well as the Oscars. For instance,
yeah,
the ratings are out for Sunday's 50th Annual Grammy Awards.
Yeah.
And they were not good. 17.2 million viewers showed up to watch. That's down from last year's 20 million viewers, barely edging out the record low of 17 million viewers set in 2006.
They were actively going for the low, I think.
They were shooting for it?
I think that's what they were shooting
for. Well, they missed their mark by 0.2 million. Mm.
Well, when you put on 20 minutes of George Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue with the Grammys, you really are not asking for ratings.
That's what I'm saying. There's no one there going, what should we do to get ratings? There's nobody asking that question.
Don't knock the raps, man. Love me some Gershwin.
We got a winner! Oh, Nelly.
That'll wake you up.
Oh, Nelly.
Yeah.
Joe and Brea.
How you doing?
Joe, in which two movies did Will Ferrell play the son to two different Godfather stars?
You had
Elf with James Caan.
James Caan's son in Elf, right?
Robert Duvall and Kicking and Screaming.
Well done, sir.
Nicely done.
Good job.
You got yourself a pair of tickets to go see the red carpet world premiere of Semi-Pro next week. We'll see you there. Hold on. We'll give you the details, okay?
All right.
Thanks, man. Is it possible another Star Wars movie in the works?
Please no. Please no. Please no.
Start lining up now.
No.
Being released this August.
This August?
The animated feature film, Star Wars The Clone Wars, will be in movie theaters. They're using it as a kickoff for the animated series, which will air on Cartoon Network and TNT this fall, featuring what went on during the Clone Wars with young Anakin Skywalker and his buddy Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Please let it go.
That's they've already had a season of that, haven't they, that cartoon?
No, not yet. No.
Because you can download 20 of them on iTunes.
There are
TV shows.
There are small animated Star Wars. I know what you're talking about.
Clone Wars, whatever that is.
But I think this is a different series.
Okay.
Yeah. So, August.
I think I'm with Bean. We could probably let that go.
If Bean is saying let Star Wars go.
Then I say bring it on.
No, something. Something's going on. Speaking of Star Wars, Hayden Christensen, of course, played young Anakin Skywalker in the first three Star Wars movies, if you're looking at them in terms of the storyline.
Right.
Yeah. Said that acting can be a very dangerous profession. He recently told in an interview that while filming the movie Jumper, he was in a stunt fight and accidentally got hit in the head, and that caused his pupil to get stuck in the dilated position, leaving him temporarily blinded.
Wow.
You're so gay.
Really? He feared that the damage would be permanent, but luckily it just it healed on its own. But he said, you never know when you're doing an action scene what can happen. I just wish he had been temporarily muted. Having seen Jumper, it would have served us all a lot better. I'm just saying. And you're familiar with Kathleen Turner?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Used to
she's
be
a man now, right?
Used to be a beautiful, stunning actress.
Yeah, she's a man
now. And
now
she's Ernest Borgnine.
Yes, that's correct. Yes.
Her career has been on the downward slope, I guess you could say, for a number of years. And what happens when that happens to an actress?
You go to the theater.
You go to the theater.
She's done well in the
porn?
Theater.
Then when that doesn't go so well?
Porn.
The infomercials?
No, you write your tell-all autobiography.
There you go.
Where you get to take out your anger and bitterness about your failing career on your former co-stars.
Ooh.
Right, you need to blame the people who still have careers.
That's right. In her new book, apparently she takes shots at Michael Douglas, who, of course, she co-starred with in...
Jewel of the Nile.
Jewel of the Nile, and also the War of the Roses.
Yeah.
Anthony Perkins, who she worked with, says that he did poppers all during the shoot.
Yeah.
William Hurt, who she co-starred with in
Body Heat.
Body Heat, one of my favorite films. She says that he was constantly taking mushrooms, tripping out on mushrooms.
Yes! Really?
All right, then.
But no one gets the worst of it like Nicolas Cage.
Why?
I don't know, but she worked with him and Peggy Sue Got Married and says that he was constantly drunk, that he's been arrested twice for drunk driving and once for stealing a dog.
Stealing a dog?
Yeah, she comes down on him pretty hard. Well, Nick is not going to stand for it. He is suing her for libel. Apparently, he's filing the suit in England because those libel laws are much more stringent than here in the States, and it gives him a greater chance of success. But he is furious about what she has printed about him in her new book, Send Yourself Roses.
I think he's got a pretty good case because, as I understand it, he has never been arrested.
That's what he
says. That's just flatly wrong,
right? He's never been arrested for anything, let alone he doesn't believe in drunk driving. He doesn't believe in theft. He never stole a dog. She says
he stole the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence.
That's true.
Or something, didn't he? I saw it in my
stole
own
it.
Eyes.
But they let him off the hook for that one.
Oh.
Apparently, she claims he saw a chihuahua he liked and stuck it in his jacket. And he said that never happened. So it's his reputation at stake. He's looking to...
he's a reputation protector.
Nice.
That's what he is. Do we have an answer to my trivia question? Oh, we did that already, didn't we?
Did that already?
Yeah. I got to listen to this show more often.
You should. It's good. Not during this segment.
No. This guy blows. Take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? I'm still having a hard time hunting down some Making It by David Naughton.
Good.
But we're working on it. We'll
don't
find
need it.
We'll find it. We'll
don't
find
feel
it.
Like you need it.
I'll go down into the vault during the records this hour and see if I can dig it up for you.
Let's not work too hard on that.
Get down there in the vault, Bean.
Song blows.
He, of course, was in American Werewolf in London. He was the I'm a Pepper dude.
Kevin, now we asked you to endure it for 10 seconds once a year. How angry can you be about Making It?
Making It's just bad.
Love that song. Henry Rollins. Singer, social commenter, monologist. He is 47 years old today.
Good one.
Thank you so much. Kelly Hugh.
Oh.
The Scorpion King and the X-Men. She is 40 years old today. Jerry Springer, our pal Jerry, turned 64 years old today. Peter Gabriel, legendary singer-songwriter from Genesis and his own solo career, is 58. And Stockard Channing, who played the First Lady on West Wing for many years. Very talented actress. She was also Rizzo in Grease. Remember that?
Sure.
Yeah. Wanted to do her in Grease. Make her hurt.
Oh, man.
Wow. Too much information?
Yeah.
She's 64 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Tomorrow night, Valentine's night, we are having a Kevin and Bean singles party, Kevin and Bean's Love on the Rocks, and it's at On the Rocks, just above the Roxy, and we're looking for girls 21 or above. The topic today is deal breakers. Psycho Mike was telling us yesterday off the air about a super hot chick. Went out to dinner. She was eating like a pig, like a horse, just shoveling it in, and Mike just got up and left. It was it for him.
So we want to talk to ladies who have had a date and the guy did something so annoying that it made it impossible for it to go out with him any longer.
Just could not continue that relationship because of.
Mike is offended by any woman who eats ever, by the way.
That is
first
true.
Of all,
that
because he's like that. But you're talking about he had a laugh or his eyes were too far apart or just something that otherwise he might have been a great guy, but you just couldn't get past it.
Yep. Yeah. Deal breakers. Girls, 21 or above, call now 1-800-520-1067. Oh. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. And tomorrow night we are going to have a singles party.
Love on the Rocks with Kevin and Bean. One guy is stupid, the other's just mean.
That's not funny.
If you're down on your luck,
what do you do?
Then join us and someone new.
We don't have time to explain it to you, Rodney. Sorry. It's the Kevin and Bean Love on the Rocks singles party. As Kevin mentioned, it is going to be tomorrow night, and it's going to be at a place called On the Rocks, which is just above the Roxy on Sunset. DJ Omar Khan is going to be spinning. It's going to be a lot of fun. Guys and gals, 21 and up. And this time we're looking for girls at 1-800-520-1067. And each morning we've had a different topic of discussion. It gives us an opportunity to kind of learn a little bit about you, hear what kind of personality you have, and also, you know, we get a chance to look at the judgment that you've exhibited in the past. And I think today we're talking about what, Kevin?
We are talking about deal breakers.
Yeah.
This is something that somebody did and you went, okay, I'm out. Yeah, maybe it's an annoying laugh.
Right.
It's a horrible sense of humor. Maybe it's anger. Whatever it is that just turned you away quickly.
Treating a waitress terribly.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Because let's face it, there are some deal breakers that make sense. You find out the guy's a drug addict. I understand. Okay. You find out she's got four kids. Maybe that's not what you're looking for in a relationship. But there are some things that you think you should be able to look past if the person has everything else going on. But it doesn't always work that way.
Let's start with Jenny in Carson, 24 years old. Good morning, Jenny.
Hi. Good morning, guys.
Hi, Jenny.
Talking about deal breakers. What was yours?
So he called, when we were conversing, he'd call me dude at the end of our conversation, and he'd also wipe his nose with his sleeve, like, you know? Like,
oh, that's good.
Oh, gross.
And like if he was a little kid, and I was just like, that's just disgusting. Like, why can't you grab a tissue and just say, you know, excuse me, let me wipe my nose? But he just, like, with his sleeve, like, you know, like across his sleeve, and I was just like, no.
You made the right decision, Jenny.
I can understand that. By the way, there are some women, and I happen to be married to one, who don't understand that dude is the universal. That dude works for everybody in every situation, in every conversation.
Not, no. Somebody that calls me dude does not respect a woman as far as, you know, hey.
Wow.
Okay. Whoa. You just made a left turn.
What about that, guys?
Okay, well, even if we're friends, but we're on a date. You're supposed to be respectful. I mean, you know.
Dude, Jenny, that is not cool.
Dude.
Dude, not cool, though.
Dude.
You calling me dude is okay, but yeah, it's not but, a date, and you know.
Dude, thanks for calling.
Aww.
Sorry.
Come on, Lisa. We made the right
by
decision
the way,
there. She's a little too uptight if she gets upset by somebody
well,
calling her
I did want to ask her before you hung up
too
on her.
Too late!
If the nose thing hadn't happened, would she have still not gone out
that's
with
a good
because
question.
Of the dude thing?
I was on board with her until she went back to the dude thing, and then she was so hardcore about it. I was like, all right, hey.
She said to call a woman a dude is to not respect
disrespectful.
Women.
Yeah. That's
I mean, come
a
on.
Little much.
Yeah.
She would not have a good time at our party.
No,
yeah.
she would
what I
not.
Think.
That's
no.
true. All right, let's go to
we'd
Sabrina.
Say dude every other word.
Unfortunately, we do. Sabrina, 25, Los Angeles.
Hi.
Hi, Sabrina.
I'm looking here at what your complaint is, and I don't understand it.
Okay, it was the second date.
Yeah.
And this guy is very attractive. He just looked like a great guy. He had a great job. He seemed very intelligent. And then he said, I like my girls to pee on me. And I was...
Oh.
But
on your second date?
Yes. But worse than that is that he said, and I also like them to hold me while I pee on myself.
What?
Oh, my God!
Come on.
That is not second date conversation.
Was this the conversation that you had with him?
I need somebody to pee on me. Does anybody have to pee?
Something like that?
Wow.
Wow, second date. Well, how was
second
it?
Second date. I didn't do it.
Oh, okay.
Like, right. There was no further.
No third date?
No. God knows where he would go from there.
I think that's reasonable. No, if you start with pee.
Second date, right. You could only imagine what else he likes.
Everything's only going to go downhill from there.
Two girls, one cup.
Oh, Lisa, come on.
We all were thinking it.
That's true.
All right, Sabrina, we will see you tomorrow night with a single friend at On the Rocks. Thank you very much for calling 1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to Monica, 28. She's in Fontana on Line 8. Again, if you're just joining us, we're talking about deal breakers. On the surface, it seems like a tiny little thing, but it could be enough to derail the whole relationship. Monica, good morning.
Good morning.
By the way, I don't know if you heard, but the buzzer was set off by the word Fontana.
Oh, come on,
I knew.
Guys.
It's an automatic thing. Every time you say Fontana, shoot.
Oh.
Sorry.
I knew it.
Hi, Monica.
Hi,
tell us about your deal breaker.
So this guy, he's really dorky, but he's really sweet and nice and, like, just a great guy. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go out with this guy. I'm going to go out with him. He's been pursuing me for a while. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to go out with the guy. We go out. He takes me to Olive Garden, kind of, like, low-key kind of stuff. And somebody takes his spot, like, his parking spot as we're pulling up. And he goes ballistic. He just loses it, gets out of the car, like, leaves the car mid street kind of and gets out of the car and starts yelling at that guy, and I'm sitting in like the front seat just mortified, like, oh my God, what's gonna happen? They're gonna start fighting. Like, I'm just like completely mortified. I don't know what to
do. And you didn't see any other sign of that temper?
No, he's a geek, he's a dork, he's totally nerdy. Like,
that's what you thought him.
Yeah, that is not best behavior on a first date, that's for sure.
He joins the MMA.
All right, you made the right decision.
Yeah, you made the right decision as well, Monica.
By the way, for those who are listening and hating on the guy because he took her to, you know, Olive Garden, thinking that that's not very cool, in Fontana, that is considered a 5-star restaurant. I mean, that's like the best place in the whole town.
They don't even have dirt in that restaurant in Fontana.
That's right. All right, Monica, please hold on. Put her on hold, Kevin. I think you accidentally lost Sabrina. We want to make sure we can hang on to these people for the party. All right, do we have time for one more?
Yeah, let's take one more. Let's do Nicole, who is calling from Rancho Santa Margarita. Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi.
Deal breaker. Sounds like you went out with Psycho Mike at one time in your life, it sounds like.
You know what? I think that's what it was, because the entire time it was all about him while staring at my boob.
Well, that's a nice 1-2 punch.
Great man.
Yeah.
So he was looking at your boobs, but talking about himself the whole time.
Exactly.
What was he saying about himself?
Boy,
how
do I love boobs.
He was, how he worked out, what he ate to stay looking in such great shape.
It is Mike.
It is Mike.
Totally Mike. Mike's so excited right now. By the guy, though, not by Nicole.
Yeah, sure.
Now, let me ask you this, Nicole, because people are this was a first date you're talking about?
Yes, it was.
Okay. A lot of people are nervous, obviously, and it's a little bit awkward, and you don't have that much in common with the person that you know about yet, so the tendency is to try to keep the conversation moving by bringing up stuff that you know about, and a lot of times people do talk about themselves. You're saying it even went beyond that.
Yeah, pretty much. It was all about him. I couldn't get a word in edgewise about anything that were my interests, but about what he does.
I think
the
tip for conversation would be, I don't know, ask her about herself.
Yeah.
That might help some.
But he was too busy talking about himself and staring at my boobs.
Yeah, listen, Mike, Psycho Mike stares at my boobs all day and does nothing but talk about himself.
I hope it's not going to be uncomfortable for you to be hanging out with Mike at the party tomorrow night, Nicole, all right?
Hey, it would be fun.
You will be there. Thank you. Dave will take a few more calls off the air.
Okay.
And size people up, and then we got more tickets for guys coming up a little bit later on this morning.
You can kill anybody you want on the show. I'm just saying, don't mess with John Locke. That's the only thing I'm saying, because now you got me to deal with if you start killing him. That's the deal. Emmy Award-winning actor Terry O'Quinn back on the line, back on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about another all-new Lost tomorrow night at 9 o'clock on ABC. Mr. O'Quinn, thank you for joining us again, sir. How are you?
Good morning, everyone.
Well, first of all, let's get some business out of the way. How relieved are you and your castmates by the outstanding news about the writer's strike finally being over?
I'm very happy. I'm very happy to come. I'm looking, really looking forward to going back to work. I missed it.
Is it possible? We had questions before the writers' strike whether the writers of Lost had any idea where this show was going. Is it possible that they kept the thread? They remember what they were doing, or do they have to start from scratch?
It's possible.
Yeah. It worries me just a bit.
What are they telling you about when you'll actually start working on some new shows, Terry?
The last I heard, and that's just a rumor, was about a month from now.
About a month from now, okay.
Yeah, or maybe 3 weeks to a month. But
gotcha, okay.
Until I hear a voice of somebody that I know that employs me and that tells me to show up to work, I'm not going to believe anything.
Right.
I understand. Well, it's great to have the show back. Of course, we lost these. We took a long time off waiting for the shows to return, but it's been a lot of fun to come back. And, it just gets wilder and wilder on that island, doesn't it?
It is a little crazy, isn't it? I mean, I think Locke's getting a little wilder and wilder, too.
Yeah, your Definitely. Character is out of his mind, I believe.
Well, he's got religion now, so look out. There's trouble.
Yeah.
Do we know? I mean, this is one of the things. It seems like there's reality, and then there's alternate reality on the show. I mean, for instance, when Locke sees Walt on the – do we know if Walt is really there, or is it a vision in Locke's imagination? Or what's your interpretation when stuff like that happens to your character?
I don't think we know if Walt is really there, but I think Locke believes it's a vision, but not his imagination.
Okay.
To confuse you more.
So it's actually happening, but he's the one seeing it. Okay.
I think Locke believes that he was destined to die until the island Jacob, whatever it is, changed his destiny.
And, Jacob is a ghost, for those of you that don't know.
In the rocking
now
chair,
he has
right?
work. Now he has work to do, and I think he believes he's there to protect.
Yep.
Island.
Well, one of the things that we love recently is the struggle for who's in charge. You got Jack trying to lead. You got Sawyer kind of on his own.
Mm-hmm.
You got you, John, kind of taking things into your own hands. I have a clip of your character and Sawyer kind of arguing over what the hell's going on and who's giving you orders.
You mind telling us who you're getting your orders from, Colonel Kurtz?
I got them from Walt.
What the hell do you mean you saw Walt? In a dream?
No dream. It was Walt. Only taller.
What, like a giant?
He said I had work to do, that I had to stop this woman, Naomi, from bringing the rest of her people here.
Well, you didn't ask any follow-up questions?
Ben had shot me and left me for dead. Walt saved my life, so I pretty much took him at his word.
He shot you, yet here you are, fit as a fiddle, tromping through the jungle.
The bullet went in one side, came out the other. I'd probably be dead if I still had a kidney there. Anything else?
He's got a hole in one side and a hole out the other.
Oh, my God.
That was pretty. That was intense, Terry, those wounds that they put on you.
It sounds crazy now that I listen to it.
Yeah.
If you think too much about this stuff, you kind of go like, whoa, I gotta not think too much about it. It sounds insane.
Seriously. Now, here's a question that I'm going to ask because I have to, but I know you're not going to be able to answer anyway. So I'm going to waste everybody's time. So
what happens?
No, that's not it.
Okay.
Do you have any way of knowing, and tell me if you can, whether your character, John Locke, is one of the few that gets off the island that we will eventually see in the fast forwards after the rescue?
The Oceanic 6, or whatever that is.
I don't know.
You don't know, or you can't say?
Okay.
I don't know. They haven't told me. And
you are under oath, Terry. You are under oath.
No, I do know that right. In the next, and I never took that HGH. These are my own.
Just your wife.
My wife did the swimsuit issue, yeah. No, I do know that we're going to find out who at least two more of them are in these eight episodes.
Oh.
Okay, good. Excellent.
That was one of the great season finales of television last year when they did the whole fast forward episode. I mean, it really did turn everything upside down. And I know you run into lots of, probably crazy Lost fans and stuff. I mean, it must have really blown a lot of minds to learn, if nothing else, that somebody gets off the island. I mean, it gives you something to kind of work toward as the series winds down over the next couple of seasons.
Yeah, it made people kind of crazy. It made me a little crazy. I thought it was very daring, It's like throwing another ball in the air. If you're a juggler, you go like, don't you have enough up there right now? But they wanted to go that way. Someone said, well, what if it's only an alternate, it's a possible future? And my response is that would just be nasty.
Yeah, it really would.
That would just be
right.
Lost has more balls in the air than any show ever. They got the smoke monster ball, and they got the
oh, no kidding. They got a ton. We got 40 episodes left to get them all, to catch them all safely and explain everything.
And is that going to happen? Are you convinced that's going to happen?
Well, I'm not convinced of anything.
All right.
But I think A lot. They might drop a couple. You know, they might drop a few. They might have to publish a book at the end of this show.
Yeah, it could be
all the answers you wanted to know, but we're afraid to ask.
Yeah.
But I think they're going to. I think they're going to take care of all the big issues. I really do.
Well, it's one of the most entertaining, unusual programs on TV, with another new episode tomorrow night at 9 o'clock on ABC. The only advice I could give, not that anyone's asking, is just keep introducing all those new characters. I mean, that's really what the show needs. Just keep piling them on.
Terry?
You know what? We've got to have somebody to kill. I don't want it to be me.
Yeah, that's true. I hear you.
Exactly.
All right.
All right, Mr. O'Quinn, you are a terrific actor, and we always enjoy talking to you on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
It's nice to talk to you all. Have a great day.
Thank you, man.
All right. I'm watching The American Idol last night, which was awesome, by the way. And I keep seeing commercials for our friend D.L. Hughley, who apparently is going to be on the TV tomorrow night, hosting something called the NAACP Image Awards, the 39th year they've had these awards. D.L., back on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Good morning, sir.
Hey, man. Good morning. Good to talk to you. How you doing?
Very good. Thank you.
Fine. I didn't know do they always put this show on TV? Have I just missed it in the past?
No, way. It actually has been live for the last couple of years. I think this may be the first year it's live, but... I'm having a good time. The 39th annual awards for the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, and the first thing I'm gonna ask them to do is change their name.
Yeah,
we ain't been colored since Raising in the Sun.
Yeah, you know, I've always wondered about that.
You'd be getting boycotted.
Yeah, exactly. I've always wondered about the colored people in the NAACP, and I've always worried about the United Negro College Fund. That name still seems a little anachronistic.
Yeah, you know what it is? I mean, we've been laughing, Negro, black, colored. I mean, what can we call you people to make you happy? I just say equal. It'll be fun.
Equal, all right. Now, let me ask you some questions. I'm going through some of the categories here. For example, Outstanding Talk Series, Tyra Banks. Seriously, you can't be supporting that.
Well, I tell you what.
I know she's black, but she's horrible.
I'm not on the committee.
All right.
He's just hosting.
All right, but here's my question for you. She's up against Real Time with Bill Maher. Now, last I checked, Bill's as white as I am.
Yeah, but I think that Bill, that's the thing. Bill likes black women, so that lets him in.
Oh, I wasn't aware that was how it worked.
Ben Bean's in.
Bill and Robert De Niro get more black sex than I do.
Okay, all right.
No, you know, I know you're friends with Bill Maher, and you're always very entertaining when you're on his show, but that is a dude that you can point to and say he will never get married and he will never regret that decision.
You know what? And that's so funny, because I was just talking to him, and, you know, he is he's one guy that is consistent. Either you love him or you like him or you hate him. And I think that he really is one dude that just lives his life in an uncompromising way. And I think that one of the things about marriage is you got to compromise. Well, I don't know if men got to compromise. We just got to say yeah a lot.
Right. It's just giving in. It's not compromising.
Yeah. Although he's going a little crazy this season with his anti-antibiotics talk. I don't know if you caught any of that deal.
I tell you what, I had a real bad infection, right? So actually when I was on the show, I had a pretty bad infection and I was on antibiotics. That'll kill you. And he really actually, ever since then, I've been making these shakes that he had. But I think that, he's a fairly cynical guy, as am I. But I think that when you watch what's going on, like, who knew that Barack Obama was going to be doing this well? Who knew it?
Yeah,
nobody.
No one really.
I mean, remember when he won the Iowa caucus? He was the most shocked dude on stage.
Yeah, he was. And I think a lot of people, even up through, you know, the first few primaries, and tell me if I'm wrong here, Dale, a lot of people thought, here's a guy who's smart to be running, although clearly he's not ready, or America won't think he's ready, but he's going to get his name out there, and he is going to be so poised in 8 years to come back and be a dynamic candidate with a lot of experience, and nobody thought he would run the table like he has.
Right. Well, I think that, you know, I was reading a thing. It said that America wants a president can have a beer with, but I didn't know it was going to be a 40-ounce.
That is good news.
I think that one of the things to remember is that one of the greatest political tricks is to make somebody the front runner. There's a tendency in American politics for the front runner to kind of just be up and down. And what is important to remember is that he's won a lot of caucuses. You know, not necessarily.
Hey, we can't use that language, dude. Sorry. It's not you know what? He should also be thanking President Bush, because I think Americans they're ready for somebody who can speak.
Right. Yes.
You know?
Not so
charisma.
About the beer.
Right.
It is hilarious to me. I mean, and he's raising more money than any presidential candidate. I mean, last time I saw a brother get this much money, he signed a deal with Nike. Are you crazy? LeBron James ain't got this kind of endorsement.
This is our friend D.L. Hughley on the phone. We're talking about, among other things, the 39th annual NAACP Image Awards tomorrow night on Fox. I got to ask you two things here about some of the awards that are being given out tomorrow night. You have two special awards that have already been announced in advance. One is Aretha Franklin.
Right.
Did you see her at the Grammys? Will she still be alive tomorrow night? That woman looks like she, I mean, seriously, what's up with her?
Man, Aretha, I mean, I never knew they could make a dress that big with spaghetti straps.
That was seriously.
That was kind of shocking.
She was huge.
And it was real spaghetti, too. I love Aretha, but she got a... It's a good thing she's got such a powerful voice because she's standing way back away from the microphone now.
Yeah, she honestly, she needed it for folks who didn't see it, and God bless her. You know, she's a legend and the queen of soul and deserves it. But, I mean, she needs help standing at this point. She's ready for Dr. Phil to go in there with a team and, like, put her on some sort of forced diet.
You know? I remember when I was about 7 years ago, 6 years ago, she had a private function, and she flew me out to do a function at her house. Which was the coolest thing in the world to me. It was like 20 people, everybody walking around. Miss Aretha, you gonna think I'm not sitting with a damn smoking?
Really?
Oh man, it was hilarious.
Because she was eating. She was too busy eating.
And the other award that's given out, and this is a personal favor I'm going to ask for you, DL, and that's I know the great Stevie Wonder is going to be there. Yes. Can we, and I said this after the Grammys too, can we stop giving standing ovations to Stevie Wonder? What a waste of time for everybody involved.
You know what's so funny? And Steve, it's so funny that I'm hosting this when this is happening because I've had Stevie Wonder actually hired me for my first radio gig.
Really?
I worked for KJLH, which is a local station in L.A.
Sure.
And I actually said, would this station look this bad if Stevie could see? 45 minutes. Fired me.
Man. He fired you for saying
really?
That?
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
I remember when years ago, remember when they used to have that drunk driving campaign?
Yeah.
Where Stevie Wonder was a spokesman, like a drunk.
Yeah, he had that song out called Don't Drive Drunk,
Don't
right.
Don't Drive Drunk. And he would run up to you and go, give me the keys. Who been so drunk they give Stevie Wonder the keys?
Well,
I know you high when that's your option. Hey, man, I can't drive. Give the keys to Stevie.
you need to get some revenge on your old boss on the show tomorrow night, then.
Absolutely. I mean, and it's just one of the things I don't particularly like award shows because I think they're vainglorious. I think that, it's a bunch of rich people who get paid a lot of money who kind of go, honor me for
right.
millions of dollars I just got. But one of the things I've always dug about this particular show is that it does feel a little more folksy, and there's just so much that is going on. And I love an opportunity to be on stage and just see some of the things, talk about some of the things that I see these days, and it's amazing.
Sure.
The FBI ran out of money and had to stop its wire.
Yeah.
Wiretapping program. Just do what black people do. Put it in somebody else's name. Put the phone in the CIA name. They ain't using all their minutes.
Can I vote for you for president?
I get the one.
Yeah, I would like to.
We get the same amount of votes.
Well, tomorrow night, D.L. Hughley gets to be the rich folks who gets paid a lot of money to host the 39th annual NAACP Image Awards. That's going to be at 8 o'clock on Fox. D.L., you know we love you, man. We always love having you on the Kevin Bean Show.
Good to see you guys.
Thank you, man.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you. Bye now.
Is our dominatrix here yet?
I don't know. She wasn't when I left the office.
I've been wandering around. I don't see her.
Here's the thing. She can show whenever the hell she wants.
Sure.
She's dominatrix. She's not used to taking orders from guys.
These are the last few minutes of our freedom.
So we asked her to be here at a certain time. She's like, I'm going to get there when I want to get there.
Well, it's the latest in our continuing series of Ask A. Today, it's Ask a Dominatrix, coming up just after 8 o'clock here on the world-famous K-Rock. More tickets for our On the Rocks singles party on the way, too. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Wednesday morning. What's going on, Argar?
It lasted 100 days, but now it's over. The writer's strike is over.
Yay!
Finally.
Votes were counted yesterday. 92.5% of the writers who voted to accept the proposed three-year contract by the producers, but less than 4,000 members voted, which they found interesting.
Hmm. How many are
below
there?
The 5,500 who voted to strike originally.
Oh, I see.
So I think a lot of people abstained, but of those who did vote, they were ready to go back to work.
Yeah. That, 3-4 months, that's a long time for anybody to be out of work.
Yeah. I was talking to a friend who is a writer who had to go back to waiting tables.
Yeah.
And it's not like, living your life with a dream, finally getting out of waiting tables, being able to work in the industry, and then having to go back. It's a mortifying experience. So,
I'd like to say again, and I know this might not be a popular opinion amongst the studio heads, but why did it have to take 100 days? Why? You knew you were going to have to settle? What's the point?
Yeah.
What's the point?
And they really could have sat down earlier than they did, too. They waited till the deadline, really, before they started having negotiations. So on both sides, I think they could have handled it differently. But let's hope this is the end of it, because the directors have settled. AFTRA, the American Federation of Television Radio Artists. They are in negotiations as well. They're almost got a deal. The only big union left is SAG, the Screen Actors Guild. Their deal is up in June. They have not yet begun negotiations with the producers, so we could be looking at an actor's strike in the summer if they don't get their act together. So hopefully they will take this as a good sign and get to the table. Let's hope. Congratulations, Gary Coleman. You got married.
What'd you talk about, Ralph?
No.
He got married to a 22-year-old actress named Shannon Price.
Choo-choo!
Back in August. But they've been keeping their vows under wraps, he told Inside Edition.
Oh.
Because?
Well, they've been keeping the wedding secret because she wanted to keep being seen as her own person, says Shannon.
Oh.
Instead of?
I just want my own identity as well because I don't want to be known as Gary Coleman's wife.
That's nice.
He's got to be happy to hear those words come out of her mouth.
It would be. Really.
Gary wrote his own vows. I don't know if you saw
that.
No,
I didn't know that.
But I actually have a clip if you want to hear.
Yeah, please.
You sound really pretty. Let me tell you what I'm wearing. I'm wearing brown pants.
This is weird.
An old navy crew neck and a pair of red Skechers.
Can't she
Did
see
I
you?
Did I mention I'm also wearing a UGO baseball cap? I'm lying on my floor playing with my model trains right
Ooh.
Now.
Oh,
sexy.
I'm making tracks, baby.
Yeah, that is not
no,
that's sexy.
Not romantic.
No.
They got married on the top of a mountain in Nevada.
Nevada?
Yeah.
You think he'd be taller?
If you're going to go to the top of a mountain, why don't you pick a place in the mountains?
Oh, you know, Nevada's got mountains.
Well, I guess.
She is 5'7", by the way, to his 4'8".
Yeah.
Wow.
That really doesn't matter to me, she said. He was 10 feet tall to me because he was sweet, and I really liked his personality. Oh, Shannon.
Ugly.
Fug.
She's not
ugly.
Fugly.
Fugly.
She's not broke-ass, former child star, midget, bad kidney ugly.
No, she's not.
I'm going to say yes.
Oh,
she's not.
Stop
I'm going to go with yes
Kevin's
on that one.
Kevin's right, Fug.
Stop it. First of all, the words Kevin's right rarely should ever be uttered in this room.
Come on, Fugly. Come on.
This is good news. ABC's going to stand up to the FCC.
Excellent.
About the NYPD Blue thing?
Yeah.
Awesome.
The FCC fined ABC and its affiliates $1.4 million for a 2003 episode of NYPD Blue in which Charlotte Ross was shown naked from behind as she prepared to take a shower. The FCC slapped 52 ABC affiliates with the fine because they claim the scene depicts sexual organs and excretory organs.
Oh, sick.
They didn't put a camera into her sphincter, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
And
she,
butt.
She wasn't doing either of those things at the time.
No, she was getting ready to go take a shower.
Suck on that!
So how are they going to fight it?
The reason they got fined, by the way, is the 52 stations that they fined were in the Central Mountain Zones, which broadcast the episode before 10 p.m., and the rest of the country was on at 10 p.m., on ABC, but because of the time difference in the center of the country, apparently post 10 p.m., they were willing to let them get away with it, not before 10 p.m.
In Central and Mountain, it airs at 9, and
Exactly.
This is f***ing retarded.
ABC said in a statement yesterday that it is strongly opposed to the fine, is asking FCC to set them aside because, and I quote, when the brief scene in question was telecast almost 5 years ago, this critically acclaimed drama had been on the air for a decade, and the realistic nature of its storylines was well known to the viewing public. They're saying if you tuned in to NYPD Blue, by that point, you probably knew what you were in for. Occasionally, they have some adult subject matter in there. And I think as Americans, we could all handle Charlotte Ross's fantastic ass, by the way. And the side of her amazing cans.
I'd like to find one kid out there who was damaged by accidentally coming across that show, by the way.
The homosexual is right.
I'm guessing more people got bent out of shape by the subject matter than by the image, because in that scene, she is a new stepmom to a young boy. He's about 5 or 6.
Right.
And he accidentally walks into the bathroom as she's getting ready to go into the shower. And so he's in shock because this is the first time he's seen a naked woman. And she's mortified because embarrassed because the kid has walked in on her. But that was the storyline. I bet a lot of people said, it's a young boy. He shouldn't
it's
be able
icky,
to see a grown woman naked.
Well, I mean, unless she is interested in that, how's that? I mean, if they're both turned off by it.
She was mortified.
What the hell?
She's destroyed
It's hardly
by
gratuitous.
It. And that happens in real life all the time.
Hmm.
So, check that out.
Yeah.
it's on YouTube, by the way, in case you missed the episode.
Yeah.
Charlie Ross is pretty hot.
Yeah.
Stone Temple Pilots are reuniting. How about that?
Really? Been seeing rumors of this.
They're getting back together at the Rock on the Range Festival in Columbus, Ohio. Happens May 18th and 19th. Kid Rock, Three Doors Down, Disturbed will also be playing on the bill, but STP will be getting back together for the first time in 7 years. Now, keep in mind, Scott Weiland is currently in rehab, but sure. They say he's expected to be right as rain for the reunion by May, so that's
just like
happen.
Old times, unfortunately.
Yeah, and apparently there's more STP concerts in the works as well, so if you're a fan, you're going to get to see them play live again.
A lot of good stuff.
And more music news. Scarlett Johansson.
Yes.
Is recording her debut CD.
Boobs.
She does 10 songs on the CD. Apparently, 11 songs. 10 of them are songs by Tom Waits. She's a big Tom Waits fan. Remember Tom Waits, the gravelly-voiced singer-songwriter?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
She is working on those. She has one original tune as well. And she is working with some high-powered musical talent on the CD, apparently. David Bowie does some work on the CD as well.
Oh, is that right? Wow.
He lends his voice to two of the songs on Charlotte Johansson's debut album. So she's pulling in good people to work with her, that's for sure.
Sounds like it.
Apparently, they've already released one of the songs that Scarlett sings with David Bowie, and we got a little piece for it here.
I sing with Scarlett Johansson.
Okay.
I sing with Scarlett Johansson. 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 I sing with Scarlett Johansson.
A little repetitive.
Got it, I
sing with Scarlett Johansson.
Sounds like a hit to me.
All right.
I sing with Scarlett Johansson.
Okay.
I sing with Scarlett Johansson.
Right.
I sing with Scarlett Johansson.
Right,
I sing with Scarlett Johansson.
All right.
I'm singing
all
with Scarlett Johansson.
You sing with Scarlett
Johansson. Johansson, singing loud with Scarlett Johansson. Hear me sing with Scarlett Johansson.
I think we understand the gist of
a lot
song.
Of people in the audience look pissed.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind? Yeah. That just happened.
The gist of the song is clear.
I think so.
Wait, David Bowie is singing with Scarlett Johansson?
That's the rumor.
Okay, now I got it. Today's celebrity birthday is Kelly Hugh.
Hey.
From Scorpion King and X-Men, she is 40 years old today. Henry Rollins is 47 years old. Imagine Psycho Mike's, a guy who works out all the time and just sings
he loves him.
Heavy rock music. It just must be Psycho Mike's dream come true just to make sweet
Absolutely.
Love to Henry Rollins.
Oh, yeah.
Peter Gabriel, singer-songwriter, is 58 years old today. Stockard Channing, who played the First Lady on West Wing for many years, is 64. And David Naughton, we've been talking about him all day long. David Naughton, of course, the original I'm a Pepper guy, went on to star in American Werewolf in London, but probably is best beloved and known for his smash hit single.
He's not beloved and known for anything.
Making It, and we finally tracked down a little taste of
no,
Making It
we
for you
didn't.
Making It fans out there. Come on. Everybody get up and sing along.
I'm solid gold. I got the goods. They stand when I walk through the neighborhood.
Ralph knows all the lyrics.
Do you remember the movie that was the theme song for, Ralph?
I think it was in Meatballs, wasn't that song?
Meatballs. That's right.
It has the dreaded gay double clap in it.
Oh, so it cool.
It does.
That's not so cool.
And the double back on the lyric, too. No more faking it.
Ralph sang along with every lyric, by the way.
Oh, you got to shake your ass to that song.
Nope.
Let's all dance the next break.
Let's
do it again. Next time we'll dance.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind? That just happened.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Follow some more tickets to the Kevin and Bean Singles Party, which, of course, is tomorrow night. And just in time for Valentine's Day, Kevin, I believe you have an email you'd like to read as we get into our next subject.
I do. This is from our friend Aisa, who works here at the station. She works in promotion. She's the best. She says, Chuck and I are carpooling home, sitting in traffic right now. We're using our time to wisely brainstorm promotional ideas for the station. We've come to the conclusion that I should have an alternative career as a dominatrix. Chuck says, this is Aisa writing, Chuck says, I'd be good because I'm allegedly a bitch.
Allegedly.
I like the idea because I want some douchebag to pay me to effing humiliate and degrade him instead of free like usual. Can we figure out a way to help me get this new career? Can you guys do a segment, Ask a Dominatrix? Love, Aisa. P.S. The safe word is Boston cream pie.
Okay, that's good, important.
It's a lot to say with a gag in your mouth. That's all I'm saying.
Aisa, good morning.
Good morning.
We set this up just for you.
Thank you, guys.
Like you need any instruction.
And Mistress Gemini, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Fabulous.
Excellent.
Oh, sorry.
Don't hit the mistress.
I'm going to pay for that later.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, Mistress Gemini, wow, where do we start? How long have you been in the dominatrix business?
8 years.
8 years.
Okay. How'd you get started in it? Was it like Aisa, where it was just a brainstorm? It just came to you and you thought, hey, that'd be fun.
Actually, no. It was I don't know. I met a lady who was a dom, and she opened up her own private studio and asked to train me and some of my friends so that we could work there and, you know, have a little team. And
did you go to her and say, I'm looking for this? Or did you say, I think you'd be good at it?
No, I started hanging out with some certain people, and we started going to clubs, goth clubs, and different events, and met this lady through a mutual friend. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, okay. I was at college at the time, and you know, I just did it, excuse me, as fun. And then I graduated.
Right.
Excuse me. And then it was like, okay, well, what do I do now? I could go work, you know, 100 hours for somebody else. Or
kick guys in the balls and get paid for it.
I can work for myself.
That's part of it, right?
The rest is history. Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Oh,
absolutely.
My favorite sport.
Kickball.
But I know the guys that come to you get a turn on. If they enjoy sexually, it's fun for them. But do you enjoy it as well? Or is it just a job where you're just going through the motions?
Oh, no. I love it. I'm a lifestyle. So I have personal slaves, too.
So by lifestyle, Dom, you mean that's what you do in your own sexual life as well? That's
yes.
How many personal slaves do you have?
I have one, but I don't have sex with my slaves. Can I say that word?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So they get all the bad and none of the good when they come to your house.
Yes, that's right.
Aisa, how many slaves do you have?
30.
And she has sex with all of them.
Yeah, right. Now, Ralph,
beer mug used to be one.
Yeah, I know.
Ralph, you're the one who put us in touch with Mistress Gemini.
Yes.
Is she the one that you went to all those years ago when you taped the piece for Sex You?
No, that was Mistress Akasha was her name.
Ooh, I have the tape. Okay. If you want to hear some of that.
Oh, you went to see a domination?
Yes, you did.
Just for investigative journalism purposes.
Yeah, sure.
And here it is.
You want it?
Yes.
Yes, what?
Yes, mistress.
Say you want it.
I want it.
Oh. You like that?
Yes.
Yes, what?
Did it
yes,
sound
mistress.
So convincing?
Oh,
yeah. Lying through my teeth.
You like that, don't you?
Yes.
You're a good little boy, aren't you?
Yes.
Yes, what?
Yes, mistress.
How long ago was this?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Did she give you a warm up?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We started rolling the tape a little while into it. Yeah.
Yeah. That
I would say, you can tell I'm saying just anything she wants me to say in order to not get it worse.
To not get it worse, and it didn't work.
I was not the kind of guy who ordinarily would like to enjoy that sort of treatment.
No.
But,
no.
Some guys, you know, they get ecstatic about it. They get orgasmic over it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know them.
Gemini, were you inclined to be dominant in your relationships prior to taking this on as a profession, or did this world kind of open up to you once you started?
Well, you know, I've always intimidated men, but never knew why, and now I do, you know. So I guess I've always
been... You like kicking them in the balls. That's why.
I've always had a very strong, you know, personality and very independent.
How about you?
I think I'm pretty shy and demure.
Yeah,
liar.
Yeah, that's
no,
that's you.
It's not. I think more of the question is not necessarily, I guess, dominating him in my everyday basis, but I can be a little
aggressive.
Know,
a little too fast, you know, too aggressive in the bedroom for my own good. I think so. Scared him off.
You have any questions for her before we take questions from the listeners?
My question is, to some extent, is it more of a, like, are you personally gaining, you know, sexual pleasure from it, or is it, you know, or is it just like a job in every scenario?
You know, I don't get any sexual pleasure. First of all, let's reiterate, you know, I already said I don't do that, especially with clients.
And most dominatrix do not, right?
No,
there's
don't.
No sexual
contact
involved.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no nudity.
You're going to kick me in the balls and not have sex with me?
That's right. And you let me for it.
Are you kidding me?
That's the standard operational procedure.
But why would a guy do that? that then?
Because it's not about sex. It's mental. It's cerebral. And
but that's like going to the hooker for the conversation.
No. They need more right. than that. It's you know, there's a lot of.
Yeah, but I thought that was included.
No.
Wow.
Sorry.
It's an emotional, mental experience.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me if this is just an impression I've gotten wrongly through what I've seen of the dominatrix trade on TV and movies. But many of the people who come to you, it's because they're so powerful and have so much responsibility in their real lives that they like not having to think and make up their own decisions on their own. Is that
some
part of
them
it?
Do? Yes. A lot of lawyers and doctors. Yeah.
Lawyers and doctors
who feel freed by giving up that control and submitting to someone else's will.
Yeah, or you know, just a high power businessman. You know, in their family life, they have to be in control too, and so they need a little release, and so so they'll come in for that.
It's completely legal what you do, right?
Yes.
Yeah, there's no sex.
And Aisha, you know, if she's serious about being interested in getting into it, is it the type of thing you can a woman could make a living pretty well being a dominatrix?
Yes, you can, but. You know, supply and demand, it's very oversaturated right now, especially here in Los Angeles.
Oh, it is. There's too many dominatrixes.
There's way too many dominatrixes for the clients. And then you have to sort of establish a reputation, and it takes a couple years, you know, to get that.
Do you drive-bys and stuff like the rappers when they fight over turf?
You throw a riding crop at each other?
Wait, speaking of riding crop, what are the clothes? What are the...
All right. We need to take a break, but we'll be back. Aisha, very, very excited about this.
Shut up.
We're going to do Ask a Dominatrix. Kevin. We'll take your calls as well, 1-800-520-106.
Dominatrix. Oh, dominatrix.
Ask a dominatrix.
Dominatrix. Dominatrix.
Ask a dominatrix.
Hey, you try to rhyme dominatrix.
Falco lives.
It is the latest in a long line of Askas on the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world-famous K-Rock. Ask a dominatrix at 1-800-520-1067. Mistress Gemini in the studio. Good morning, Gemini.
Good morning.
Also, our friend Aisha, who works here hard at the promotions department at KRock.com. In fact, if you go to the singles party tomorrow night, enjoy it. It's because of Aisha and the hard work that she and her staff have put together. Here's reading from Mistress Gemini's website, and then we'll get to your calls. I am the goddess you dream about, the woman you long to dedicate your whole existence to. The moment you walk through my door and gaze upon my superior beauty, you will be humbled immediately and brought to your knees in quivering anticipation.
Aisha's putting her arms in your like,
she's
yes!
cheering. She's cheering.
You will relinquish control with a hungering passion, yearning to be subjected to my whims of sadistic torments or endless teasing. And it goes on and on and on. And I can't read it anymore because I need a moment.
All right. I think Bean needs some what they call CBT.
What's that?
Which we can't really say.
Oh, no. Yes, he does. But if he had all of those items, he would.
I think Bean would enjoy some CBT.
Genital torture, I guess you'd call that.
Yes, you would.
1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Johnny in Ontario on line 6 first. And I think this is going to dovetail nicely into what Aisha's question was before the break in terms of the clothing and the props. Good morning, Johnny. You're on Ask a Dominatrix on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Hello,
Gemini.
Hello.
What is your favorite tool when you dominate a guy?
Favorite tool?
Yes.
A Makita power drill.
That's our score
right
Makita, there.
Though, right?
Yeah, well, 1/8 bit, usually.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Oh, that's so hard because I have so many...
gets asked for the most? Or I guess they don't ask, do they?
Actually, I do. I do.
Oh, you do.
I do have a little application to because everybody has different things that they like.
What's the most? What do you use the most?
I would say the
baseball bat.
Oh no!
You know,
sorry, Johnny.
A flogger, a crop, a single tail.
Okay, so
paddles,
a whip.
A whip, yeah.
Some kind of whip.
Bear trap?
Basic.
Bear trap.
Now there's one I have.
Wow, I didn't think of that. They walk in and they get caught in it.
There you go.
Thank you for the call.
A flogger's like a whip with a bunch of leather sort of tassels on the end of it, right?
Yes, okay.
What do you wear, Gemini?
Lots of leather, rubber. High heels, boots.
Heels.
A lot of black.
A lot of black, yes.
Yeah. Aisha already dresses all in black anyway. Halfway there. Now, Aisha, we're going to go through some calls, but if you have any questions in between, feel free.
Thank you.
All right, let's go to Janet in Los Angeles. Good morning, Janet.
Hi, Kevin, Bean, Lisa, and especially the mistress.
Yes.
Hello, Janet.
Hi. I was wondering, in your private life, do you ever reverse the roles? Like, do you ever, you know, get a dominatrix and, you know.
You're the submissive? Is that what they call them?
Dominated.
Yeah, no, I don't.
Okay.
I'm not submissive. No.
That's a switch, right? Someone who goes back and forth?
Yes. Yeah. And I actually did start off a switch when I was still at college, learning, you know, still learning about my own sexuality. And I thought I'd make more money, actually, but no, you know, the submissives don't want to see, you know that their mistress is, you know, crawling around kissing somebody else's feet. And after about the fifth or sixth session, as I'm looking at the boot, I'm like, you know, this isn't really doing it for me anymore.
You and me both, by the way.
I don't think I'm going to do this anymore. So, and then my business tripled, you know, it was funny, so, yeah.
All right, let's go to Rob in Los Angeles. Good morning, Rob. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Morning, guys. How's everything going?
Good. Okay. Ask a dominatrix.
I want to know, what's the worst that you've ever hurt somebody? Like, has anybody been, like, hospitalized or something like that?
I try not to put you in the hospital, but...
it's bad for business.
Yeah, it's bad for business. But I've beaten people pretty bad, you know, bloody.
Really?
Bruised, yeah.
Bloody?
Bloody, yeah.
Do you have... Is there a line that you will not cross, Gemini?
Yes, I won't do scat.
Yeah, well, that's a good that's a good line.
That's about it.
That's a good line. Yeah.
But I mean, in terms of pain, I mean, you know, like for instance, you hear the warnings about the people who are into the asphyxiation, for instance,
yes,
that sort of thing,
yes,
which can be very dangerous and can be deadly. I mean, would you go to that close to the line?
I have blacked people out, choked people out. Basically, that's what
really?
They want. And
you don't let them tap.
Well,
submission.
Sometimes,
tap out.
You know, like they're out for a while.
They want to be choked out.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. But, you know, you have to be very careful about that. A lot of, you know, mistresses won't play with that. It's, you know,
it's very extreme.
You better know what you're doing.
How many people have you killed? Zero
today.
Zero. Well,
what about your personal safety? Have you ever? I mean, do you screen these people or?
Well, as much as you can. A lot of it is instinctual because you can't. You know, you can never really screen somebody until they get through the door. And I've been very lucky. I do know have mistresses that have been stalked and.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah. Is there anything contractual involved? What's liability like? I mean, I know guys go into it wanting to be hurt, but every once in a while there has to be some guy who gets, you know, jilted or feels scorned about the fact that you hurt him.
No, maybe not enough if I did
it. Do you use slave contracts at all? I know some dominatrix will have a guy actually sign a piece of paper or something, right?
No, I don't. Do
I anything. Want to be kicked in the balls,
you
Kevin.
Know,
I need that piece of tape, Mike, when you get a chance.
As a matter of fact. But let me go back to the safety thing that Aisa was asking about, because you are, although you know, powerful and dominating, you're very tiny, and it seems like you get a guy who's all excited or something that he might try to, you know, control the situation, take advantage of the situation, and take advantage of you. You don't have security around or somebody just outside the door or anything like that?
No.
You have a stun gun?
No.
It's really not in the nature of a submissive, though, to try to take over,
yeah, you know, they're
right?
submissive. They want to come in and relinquish control so we don't, you know, unless, you know, they have some serious psychological problems that, you know, they might switch if you did something that they don't like.
Aisa, do you have a stun gun?
Yes, I do.
Yes, okay.
Actually.
All right, let me ask Aisa one question before we break, and we are going to extend. This is such a fascinating topic. We're getting so many great calls. We want to invite you to call in with your question for Mrs. Gemini, and her website is MrsGemini.com, 1-800-520-1067.
Yeah, you could. Weekly. Yeah.
Here's my question for you, Aisa, because you have such a great sense of humor and enjoy life so much. Uh-huh. Wouldn't you just crack up in some of the scenarios that we've discussed?
About, yes.
You know, if you were the dominatrix and you were saying something that was kind of outrageous and crazy, wouldn't you just start laughing?
Well, actually, I was thinking about it, thinking, you know, halfway through, I'd probably stop and go, are you serious? You're in a Lammy costume. Okay.
Yeah. You have too good a sense of humor, I think. Plus, not that you do, but you couldn't smoke pot 24 hours a day, mistress, right? I said not that you do.
Oh.
Yeah, that might be a drawback. I see. You want to be in control of your faculties.
Wait.
I don't know if I want to go to a stoned amateur dominatrix.
Want to get some food?
A slave, go get me some ding-dongs.
Dominatrix, dominatrix. Dominatrix, dominatrix, dominatrix. Dominatrix, dominatrix, dominatrix. Oh, 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 dominatrix.
Oh, 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 ask a dominatrix.
Dominatrix, dominatrix. Dominatrix, dominatrix, dominatrix. Dominatrix, dominatrix, dominatrix. Oh, 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 dominatrix.
Oh, 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 ask a dominatrix.
You know, it's very hard to say dominatrix over and over and over again.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, it's very difficult.
Sounds like it.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. Ask a dominatrix is what's on the table today at 1-800-520-1067. Mistress Gemini sitting around with us here this morning. Fascinating, fascinating story. Kevin and I are crestfallen. We're heartbroken. Yeah. The guys who go to you don't get to have sex with you. I mean, that really does.
And it's always seemed to me like, okay, they're going to put up with all that, but then at least there's a payoff.
Well, why would you go just to put up with something? You might as well love the act itself. Waiting for the end.
I don't know.
But if you love it, Ralph, it seems like to me, and I think Kevin as well, that it would be foreplay. That's what's confusing about it to us.
But it's the role. Your role is not, you know, she's not there to please you. You're there to please.
Right. I'm the unobtainable woman.
Well, that's not okay.
It is for some.
Our friend Aisa is here in the studio, too, works in the K-Rock Promotions Department, and it was her idea to get Ask a Dominatrix on the air because she's thinking about getting into the field, and I think some of these questions that people are calling in are very useful to you, Aisa.
Senator Ryder from Arizona.
Yes. I have a question. Does this segment mean that Aisa can beat us when we walk down the hallway and
yes.
stuff?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. I think it does.
Oh, that's unacceptable.
Yeah. I'll give you a free lesson.
I love this woman. I really love this woman.
Vicky is on line 3 in Los Angeles. It's Ask a Dominatrix on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Vicky, good morning. You're on the air with Mistress Gemini. Go ahead.
Good morning. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Actually, I just had a question. I was wondering if she has any female clients, Mistress Gemini.
We very rarely get any female clients. They don't really have to pay.
Oh, I see how it works now.
They're married.
Wow, that's strong.
Do you usually go, are you like nicer with them? Do you beat them less? Do you?
CBT.
I tend to be a little softer with the girls. You know, I mean, I play a lot in my private life. So, and I do a lot of videos. So I work with a lot of girls.
You said your slave was female.
No, he's male.
Oh, he's male, okay. Mm-hmm. He's the guy that bought you the Gucci purse?
Yes.
You made him buy a Gucci purse?
I want a slave.
I need a slave as well.
Thank you for the call,
Vicky. You can have
Let's
one.
Bring me weed.
Let's go to Melody in Moreno Valley, kind of on the same topic. Melody, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, I was... good morning, by the way.
Hi.
I was curious, have you ever had couples or married couples?
I played with a few couples, yes.
Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the exception, though? Is it the exception that you have couples?
Yeah, that's
Do you dominate them both, or is there usually...
I did dominate them both. But sometimes you'll get one where, you know, you'll both dominate him. So
yeah. Melody, is that your idea, is just for have her hurt your husband and you laugh?
No.
Do it again. I hate that guy.
I mean, do they sit there and watch? Can they do that too as well?
Well, like, you know, I haven't really played with too many couples, so, but I've... You know, yeah, sometimes they do.
All right. Thank you for the call.
What about Vince in, it says Woodlands. I can't imagine that's right, is it?
Maybe Woodland Hills.
Probably Woodland Hills. But
that's what I would hope. Yeah. Vince, good morning. You're on there with Mistress Gemini. Go ahead.
Good morning, everybody.
Hi, Vince.
Good morning, Mrs. Gemini. Yeah, Woodland Hills.
Okay, go ahead.
My question is, my wife is actually friends with Aisa.
Yvette, actually... glad he's calling because the whole conversation started with his wife, Yvette. We were doing a photo session and she's a makeup artist.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what started it. But really the whole core is that we started talking about the shoes.
So,
yeah.
Yes. All about the shoes.
Is that right? Explain that to me. I don't know what that means.
Well,
costume's a big part
the
of what
costume,
you do.
Right? Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You're like, in a lot of ways, you're like an actress.
Yes. Yeah.
Because you're role playing.
Yes. A lot of role playing.
Yeah. Let's get some shit. That's the official theme song. Let's see. Let's go
to his question, by the way, that he didn't get to was Sorry. His wife wants to be a dominatrix.
Okay,
and he wants to know if he should be worried about that. Is that,
yes.
I guess if one partner starts to be interested in this arena and the other isn't, I guess you're going to have trouble just like with any other kind of sexual incompatibility.
Yes, unless you know for certain that the other one wants it.
I guess, is he kind of a girly man?
No.
All right, he'd be fine then.
He's afraid.
No, she's gorgeous and he's hot. I mean, they'd be great. But
Ozzy and Linwood, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Hi, Ozzy.
Ask a dominatrix.
I got a question. I wanted to kind of find out how much money can you make out of all this.
What's the low? What's the high?
What's the low?
A year, would you guess?
Well, let's see.
I bet it really varies from girl to girl,
it does
too.
Vary
right?
The low is probably zero.
Yeah.
It varies from
an average. What do you guess an average would be?
You know, I mean, I've don't know how to say. I make six figures.
Nice.
Oh, wow. Well,
the reason,
okay,
the
I quit.
I'm asking,
but I have a website, too, with pay.
Okay, wait a minute, wait a minute. The reason you're asking is what, Ozzy?
Because my daughter's name is Gemini. So I'm figuring out how much money is she going to be able to make.
Oh, you're creepy, Ozzy. what
a sick bastard. All right, good. Hey,
come
thanks
see
for calling.
Me. I'll take care of you.
What do we say? Why take one call? One call too many.
Do you have your own dungeon, Gemini?
Yes, I do.
Yes.
But some girls have to work out of someone else's
dungeon.
Yes,
you know, because
right?
It's a lot of money to buy all the equipment and toys. So
how do people find you?
Advertising, you know, through the website, the web.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, there's a magazine.
Word of mouth.
LA Weekly and stuff like that? No, you'd be in the back of the...
Well, LA Weekly is actually really expensive to advertise in. So,
is it?
Yeah, it's very... It's like $600 for like this little thing like that. But you'll get a lot of traffic from it. You know,
yeah,
because
yes.
it is a lot of it's distribution well.
Right.
For that.
If I were to come over to your dungeon, would it look like... what's the movie that you just saw? Hostel. Would it look like that?
Yeah.
Like jail cells and
yeah,
chairs.
That was
and
a little, you know, dirty and, you know, but some...
Saws,
some,
chainsaws.
No.
Knives.
Yeah, maybe actually, just to scare you. Yeah, I have knives.
Great
I have
for
lots
the blood.
Of knives.
What
yeah.
about cleanliness? I mean...
You know, you have to clean everything. You know, I'm very fastidious about yeah. hygiene and...
cleanliness is next to God... Goddessless.
Goddessless. There we go.
All right, we're almost out of time, Gemini. What would your advice be to Aisa... And to others listening who think, hey, that sounds like something I'd really enjoy, something I'd really like to get into. It seems like it'd be so hard to get started.
You know, there's lots of reading material, lots of books. Can I give my friend a plug?
Sure,
sure,
yeah.
sure.
She wrote a book called How to Be a Dominant Diva. If you go to dominantdiva.com. Okay. And she wrote this really good book for novices and...
We had her on
I
the
think
show.
We had her as a guest, actually.
Mistress Georgia.
The Dominant Diva. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you had her on the show?
Yeah.
She's
been a while.
She's a good friend of mine. And she gave lots of different stories to play with.
Yes.
And it was a really good initiation to, you know, to help you ease you into it.
Do you ever give classes? Do you ever teach? If someone wanted to book your time, would you be able to?
Oh, absolutely. If you want to pay me my tribute, I can.
Third
come
grade
in.
Class or something, you know?
Bring him in.
Just guest speaker, career day.
Show and tell. All right. Well, this has been very educational
thank
and
you guys.
Informative. Aisa, do you feel like we've taken a good first step for you, my dear?
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. I'm actually going to start out with you all.
Okay, now.
That's what I was afraid of.
Now, tomorrow night, are you coming to the singles party?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you can't hit people.
Yeah.
Yep. You can't hit people.
You
can't
want it.
Guests.
Kevin, you want it.
I do want it.
You want
it.
CBT when you get around to it.
All right. And MistressGemini.com is the site if you'd like to find out more about our guest. It's awesome that you came in. We very much
thank
enjoyed you.
You
being here for Ask a Dominatrix, Gemini.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Aisa.
Thank you.
Hands
guys.
Off.
Little changes can make a big difference in your life. Start by taking the stairs instead of the elevator, or try walking or biking to work a few days a week. Because at Kaiser Permanente, they want you to thrive. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
I'll walk to work. It's a good plan. Take me about a week and a half. Not a problem.
You can't get here on time when you drive. What would it be like if you actually walk?
8:57, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Rob.
Before I get to the Showbiz Beat, I've got some tickets to give away to the red carpet world premiere of Semi-Pro, the new Will Ferrell comedy. It's just freaking hilarious. I love the. I think we have a scene from the movie, actually, right here. This is Will Ferrell, who plays Jackie Moon, the owner, power forward, and coach of the Flint, Michigan Tropics. And he's on a local show on Flint, Michigan with their broadcasting team. Pepperfield is the guy in the name who does play-by-play for them.
I love this guy.
And he's hysterical. He almost steals the movie. I thought he's so great. But here they are doing an interview about an upcoming game.
Hello, ladies. You're a little tongue-tied now, aren't you, Dick?
No. Mrs. Pepperfield is watching this. She watches all of my broadcasts, and I just want you to know that I have no interest in these ladies whatsoever. I think they're appalling.
Yeah. The ball girls, the Flint, Michigan Tropic ball girls, by the way, are just...
Let me ask you this, balls. Ball girls. Is it hard to keep the fans interested when the team is losing badly?
No. No, it's not. It's not.
Nope. And do you enjoy being ball girls?
They love it.
I was actually asking the ball girls. May I ask?
They don't like to talk. They're shy.
That's so funny. If you'd like to go, answer me this trivia question. Will, of course, legendary USC Trojan. He graduated from USC.
Correct.
Yes, that is correct. But he also went to high school here locally in Southern California.
Correct.
He went to a university high school in Irvine, California. Call in now if you know what the mascot of the university high school is right now. 1-800-10... No.
How come I can't remember the number anymore?
What the hell?
I've said it so many times now, I have like a mental block. I can't remember the goddamn phone number.
520-520-1067. Yes.
520-1067. 1-800. Call in now if you know the name of the University High School mascot. First three callers get through, because we missed out on giving tickets away in the last show, BizBeat. I've got three pairs to give away right now, so first three callers. Here's your big chance if you haven't won yet.
Balls.
Giving away a gaggle. Ah,
that's it. It's the University Balls.
Gaggle of tickets. Speaking of Jackie Moon, have you seen the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue that hit stands yesterday?
No.
With Miss Marissa Miller? Yes, I have.
She's all right on the cover there.
She is.
But on the inside, despite pages and pages and pages of swimsuit models, not only decked out in swimsuits, but with body paint.
Yes.
Which is good.
Which is always good.
There's a spread in there featuring Jackie Moon.
Oh, no.
Of the Flint, Michigan Tropics.
Will Ferrell?
Yes.
Yeah.
With full Caucasian afro, dressed all in the 70s outfits, and his co-star in that shoot, yeah. Heidi Klum.
Ooh.
And it's a sequence where they're in the back of the limo, and she's in a bikini, and she's climbing all over him, and biting on him and licking on him and stuff. And I'm thinking, that bastard.
I would arrange for that as well if I were him.
That bastard.
That's a good move.
Oh, honey, I'm sorry. I have to do it to promote the movie. I hated it. You stay home with our two kids. I'm going to go crawl around a limo with Heidi Klum. See you. Bye.
Yeah, it's Heidi Klum, but she's, you know, she's getting older.
She's getting older.
That's what he's trying to say, I'm saying.
You know, Valentine's Day is tomorrow, so mm-hmm. a lot of the celebrities are revealing their Valentine's plans.
Oh, great.
Keira Knightley's boyfriend, Rupert Friend.
Yeah.
He has told the Post Chronicle what he's going to be doing for Keira for Valentine's Day.
Balls.
He got her a trip to Iceland.
A trip to Iceland?
Just for the holiday.
Dude.
The vacation is rumored to cost a small fortune, but Rupert says she's worth it.
What about flowers?
I'm saying, well, these guys don't have to do this
Stop
stuff
that.
Make us look
yep,
worse
do,
than we're
I
already
guess.
Going to be.
Women already hate us.
Trip to Iceland.
Make a worse trip to Iceland.
And by the way, Iceland's the green one, and green one's the icy one.
I've heard that's true.
That's yeah, true. And Dita Von Teese has a new boyfriend. You know, of course, Dita Von Teese, ex-wife mm-hmm. of Marilyn Manson.
Sure. Beautiful girl.
Beautiful girl.
Bad taste mm-hmm. in men. Beautiful girl.
Often can be seen in a giant martini glass, sponging yeah. herself off with an olive. That's where you can find Dita. Her new boyfriend? AJ McLean.
Nope.
From the Backstreet Boys? Yes.
What?
No.
Yes.
No.
Talk
about bad taste.
What the?
Apparently they were seen hooking up at Clive Davis's famous pre-Grammy party. New York Post says the two were very snuggly.
Why?
Oh, I don't know, Rodney.
We have a winner for your question, Ralph, if you like.
All right, let's take that.
All three winners, as a matter of fact. Let's go to David. Good morning.
Morning.
David, what is the mascot of the University High School in Irvine, California?
It's the Trojans.
It's the Trojans as well. USC Trojans, University Trojans.
He has to stick with Trojans?
That's the only place he'll go, is some place where they're the Trojans.
How about that?
You're absolutely right. Congratulations. Hold on the line. We'll give you all the details, but you're going to be at the red carpet world premiere of Semi-Pro next Tuesday.
Sweet.
See you there.
Thank you, man.
I'll be on the red carpet interviewing everybody, so I'll try to bring back some interviews if I can manage to say something beyond Will Arnett, everybody. Will Arnett.
That's hard.
It's usually how I fall into that pattern for some reason. Today's celebrity birthdays, Peter Tork of the Monkees.
All right.
He's 66 years old.
You can't break into your own laughter when you're doing Rodney.
Doing that for Rodney.
No, sure right.
Hey, Ralph, didn't he appear on Britain's Top of the Pops on stage performing with the Monkees at one time? Isn't that part of the Bingenheimer legend?
I don't know that story. I know he was Davy Jones's stand-in on the Monkees TV series. When they would light the set and stuff, he would stand in for Davey because they were the same size.
Rodney, why would you do that, Rodney?
Because I'm awesome.
Yeah, okay. Right.
Maybe one of the guys was sick or something like that, or whatever reason. I can't remember what it was, but I'm pretty sure I have that right, that he was on the Top of the Pops with the Monkees performing, you know, Daydream Believer or something back in the day.
Does Rodney even play an instrument?
I don't know.
Skin flute. That's about it.
Oh my God.
How dare you?
Thank God.
That's going to get us a meeting.
What are you talking
so
about?
Much.
The flute.
That's not funny.
That'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
Jerry Springer, 64 years old today. Peter Gabriel, legend from Genesis and his own solo career, turns 58. Henry Rollins is 47 years old today.
Stop it. What is wrong with Mike today?
Peter Hook, bassist for New Order and Joy Division, is 52 years old today. Kelly Hu from Scorpion King and X-Men is 40 years old today. And David Naughton, that's right, David Naughton, not only from An American Werewolf in London, of course, known as the I'm a Pepper guy from the famous Dr. Pepper commercials.
Nobody knows him from that.
Of course they do. He's
oh,
a
for
legend.
God's sakes.
And who could forget this song, still played to this day, as often as it was back in the 70s when he cut it, Making It. Oh, yeah, come on. We're all going to dance now, right?
I'm solid gold. I got the goods. They stand when I walk through the neighborhood. I'm making it. That's got the chance. I'm taking it. No more, no more faking it. This time in life, I'm making it.
Woo-hoo-hoo. Talk about a momentum killer right there.
Song.
I got
rules.
Some great news for you, Ralph.
And by rules, you mean it's one of the worst disco songs ever?
It rules. Right. It's no Love Me Sexy by Jackie Moon, but
no,
still,
it's close.
It's good.
Are you ready for the big news?
Gay.
Dave says that the drummer for David Naughton's band, his wife, is on the phone right now.
I'm going to have a four-part interview series tomorrow with David Naughton's drummer.
Let's do that on Monday.
Wait a minute. We're off on Monday. See what you did to me
saying.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Tomorrow is Valentine's Day, and for those of you that are not with somebody else, it sucks ass. So we're going to have a singles party.
Yeah.
And we're calling it the Kevin and Bean Love on the Rocks singles party, and it's on the rocks right above the Roxy. Looking for people now.
Love on the Rocks with Kevin and Bean.
Good choice playing Date Ring right before the segment.
One guy is stupid. The other's just mean. If you're down on your luck,
rhymes with luck,
then join us and
someone
new.
We're looking for guys this time, and we're looking for deal breakers. That one thing, whether it be the laugh or the breath or something that just turned you off and you went, I'm out.
Can't do it.
A lot of times it's otherwise a fine quality person that you could have a relationship with, but they, you know, they drive a truck and you just can't get your head around it or whatever it is. That's the call we're looking for at 1-800-520-1067.
How's your example, drive a truck?
Just as an example that maybe a guy couldn't get his, you know, he's got a sweet little petite girlfriend, but she's a truck driver and it just bugs him. You know, just something that doesn't make any sense. That's what we're looking for here.
All right, let's go to Dan, 24. Good morning. Hello, Dan. Hi, Dan. Right.
If you can't use a telephone, we do not need you at the party. Thank you for the call. Mm. Anthony is in Los Angeles on line two. This is a perfect example of otherwise she could be a great chick, but it's a deal breaker. Anthony, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Bobo's out, party people.
To you as well.
To you as well. Wow.
Oh, yeah. Throwback. I met this real nice girl, went to Sizzler. Middle of dinner, she pulled out her eye to clean it.
She didn't pull out her glass eye.
Yeah, no.
On your first date?
Second date, actually.
Second date.
You sit on a throne of lies because that did not happen.
No, it did.
Who takes out their eye to clean it in front of a date?
Apparently she does.
No, it's
not buying it.
True,
you go
in the you're bathroom. In. If it's not true, you're not, but we don't believe you. I'm sorry, Anthony. By the way, good choice taking her to Sizzler on that hot date, too.
True. Good point.
She just probably figured she could take out her eye. She was at Sizzler.
Right, exactly. They got no standards.
Let's go to Thomas, although I don't want to. Thomas, 24, Chino Hills. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
All right, so here's my story. So check this. Me and this girl go out to a bar, right? And then we're at the bar. We start drinking. This girl keeps drinking and drinking. I'm like, oh, my God, this girl can drink. So we leave the bar, right? She's pretty tipsy. We go back to my truck, and we're making out. And as soon as I know, this girl, we're making out, right? And she starts kissing my neck. And then I know all the puke starts running down.
She threw up all over you.
Yeah, it goes all down my shirt.
Okay, I don't think we need really the details of that.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
I mean, I think we understand when someone pukes on someone else what happens.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this, because lots of people are in lots of long-term, happy, committed relationships where one person has vomited at one time or another. Is that enough to break up with the chick?
Oh, no, this was the first date on Scarlet, so...
First date, yeah. Drinks too much,
first
pukes
date,
on you.
You said, no way. Okay.
That seems like a negative.
Lisa, what do you think? What's your read on Thomas?
I'm borderline with Thomas.
I'm not.
Oh, come on.
You're out?
I'm out.
You're out? Okay.
You mean you'd have vomited on him, too? Is that what you're saying?
Quite possibly.
Sorry, Tom. You know what? We apologize because it is tougher for guys to get through. I don't know why that is.
I think we're naturally harder on guys, but they're also worse at telling stories, it seems like.
Absolutely.
Let's go to Ethan in Redondo Beach. Morning, Ethan.
Morning, guys.
Hello.
Hi, Lisa May.
Hi.
Tell us about your deal.
I was at,
was at the Chart House over in Redondo, and we're getting drinks, and I have this horrific smell. Somebody walks by, there's this horrific smell that illuminates, and the date I'm with looks by and, you know, tries to play it off on the guy walking by.
Right.
Sitting down at the table, having dinner, and all of a sudden it comes again.
She's
trying to pass it off on the old couple behind us. You know, by this time I'm putting two and two together. It's not them. Sitting there for dessert, and there it is again.
Yeah.
Horrific.
Oh,
no.
How long did you date Tyra Banks?
It was one-time thing. I caught a cab and went home and left her.
You left her at the restaurant?
Yeah, I left her after we were done with dinner. I couldn't keep going.
I'm in now. Did you say the words, I'll be right back?
No, I said, that's enough. I've had enough. I'm gone. And walked out.
Okay,
wow.
Well,
that's the right choice, I think.
I'm glad you at least told her. So just too gassy to date.
I'd say that's the right choice, Bean.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Ethan's fine. Ethan, right. We'll see you tomorrow night. Bring a single guy friend. It's Kevin Bean on the Rock Singles Party. Okay, now we broke the log jam. Now we're getting through. Now we're letting in some people.
All right, let's go to Joe, 23 Anaheim. Good morning.
How's it going, fellas?
It's going good. How's it going with you?
Sorry, my work. All right, pretty much first date was she wore granny panties.
She wore granny panties?
Yeah.
And how'd you know that on the first date?
Well, you could see through the pants.
Oh,
I have to talk like this tomorrow night, though. All right.
He is.
Let's go to Jeremy, 24 years old from Thousand Oaks. Good morning, Jeremy.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Good.
Deal breakers is what we're looking for.
Yeah. So I was dating this girl in college a couple of years ago. We're dating for like 3 or 4 weeks, and took me home to meet her parents, and her mom turned out to be a little overweight. Kind of scared me off. So.
Yeah.
Okay, now they do say that if you want to see what your girlfriend, then wife, is going to look like in 30 years, look at her mom. Of course, that's not a hard and fast rule. It doesn't always work out that way.
Yeah, how big was she?
I don't know. I'm not very good at weight with women. I'd say she was over 200. So.
Now, this was the reason that you didn't date the girl anymore?
Yeah, it was kind of a new relationship.
Yes.
You know, you just said what they say. You got to look at the mom.
Did you have to explain that to her?
I didn't tell her, no.
You know, you're wrong.
It sounds like a Montel Williams episode. He broke up with me because my mom was fat.
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's funny. He's my hero. I don't know that that's the kind of guy girls want to meet at a singles party.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think so. I don't think so either.
Lisa?
That's, no.
I'm just saying.
That's a little too judgmental.
It's funny, but no.
All right, awesome. We're out of time.
Nope,
let's just,
we got to end with one. We got to go to Paul.
Let's do Paul.
Okay.
Let's do Paul at Huntington Beach, and then we'll take some more off air as tickets, if we have any more tickets. And by the way, we do have one more day. Obviously, tomorrow's Valentine's Day. We will have more tickets tomorrow morning for both guys and girls. But we'll end this segment with Paul, Huntington Beach. What's going on, man? What's the deal breaker?
Well, this girl that I went out with, she had a tattoo that meant Taco. It was resembling Taco Bell.
Taco Bell tattoo. All right,
yeah.
Good taste.
She would eat there all the time,
right.
And the more weight she would put on, and I just couldn't handle it. I would just look at the tattoo, and I would shake my head, and I had to get out of it.
Okay, so where was the tattoo?
On her neck.
Oh, no. Seriously?
Yeah.
Listen.
What was it? Was it the little chihuahua, or was it the burrito, or the logo, or what?
It had, like, a picture of like, their symbol, and then it said T-Dub on it.
Wow. He sure loved Taco Bell.
Listen, I love Taco Bell as well. I don't think I'm getting a tattoo on my neck. Yeah, that's really going, hey, everybody, look at this.
No kidding.
I have a tattoo on my neck of Taco Bell. Oh, that's she's my hero.
That's hardcore.
And yet
is there any way you can call her and bring her to the party with you? We'd
no.
like to meet her.
No. You kidding?
That was the deal breaker.
All right, I'm in on Paul.
Okay, Paul.
Yeah.
We'll see you tomorrow night, dude.
All right. Thank you. We'll take a few more calls off the 520-1067.
What are you laughing at?
Ralph came in, said he has a surprise. And
yes.
Then just a second ago, I believe I saw him skipping. Was he skipping over here?
That is bad news if
Why
Ralph
am I
has
skipping?
A surprise.
I'm skipping because I'm excited.
If?
Right. But let me translate, if you're Kevin and Bean, what we see. All right. As we're looking at you, Ralph, who's miserable and hates his job and hates Kevin and Bean. The
yes.
only thing that gives you pleasure when you're in this building is somehow something that embarrasses Kevin and or Bean.
Usually that's the only thing that gives me pleasure.
Right. That's what we're afraid of here.
But one of the upsides of having this job for me.
I have another fear.
is that I get to talk to and meet my heroes.
Uh-oh. Can I guess?
And we've done it throughout the history of the show. I've had a chance to hang out with Adam West, you know, sure. with Asia, Eddie Money.
I've
met all my heroes.
You have horrible heroes.
And the list was almost completely checked off. But okay. I was missing a few names, but today I get to check off one of those names.
Is one of those names David Andor Naughton?
We've been celebrating his birthday all day long, ladies and gentlemen. Please welcome David Walsh Naughton, everybody.
You are kidding me.
The American werewolf from London, David
That's
Naughton.
Me.
Happy birthday, David.
Hey, great. Thank you so much. my friend Hunt heard you guys this morning. He called me right up. He says, quick, turn it on, 106.7. So
and you probably heard a little song that goes a little something like this.
I'm solid gold. I got the goods. They stand when I walk through the neighborhood. I'm making it.
Is this you singing?
Yeah, let me put the batteries in my disco ball. I've got the chance, but I'm taking it. No more
faking it. This time in life, I'm making it. Hey, David.
Woo-hoo-hoo. My friend said to me, what's the name of that again? I go, making it. I only say it 100 times.
Yeah. Do you have any friends that know all the words to that song still, like Ralph seems to?
Besides me, my immediate family.
Yeah, that's about it.
My, you know, nieces and nephews.
Yeah. Love that song. Love the TV show by the same name that Dave starred in as well.
Oh, there was a TV show called Making It?
He was a sitcom. He was on, of course, my sister Sam. He was a big part of that as well. American Werewolf in London.
I remember seeing David, and I was very excited. I tuned in especially. I was not even a Seinfeld viewer, but I tuned in on the episode that you guest starred on Seinfeld because I'm such a David Naughton fan.
Oh, what do you know? The red dot.
That's
it's
right.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
People remember it by the episode. Of course, you know, it's available on the DVD, you know, and so they go, oh, yeah, the red dot. Yeah, Elaine was going to get a red sweater, and George was going to buy it, but there was a dot on the sweater, and I go, okay, I was the B story. I was Elaine's boyfriend.
I wasn't that part.
Right. Now, David, first of all, I can't believe Ralph pulled this off. I'm still convinced you're one of his, you know, this is one of Ralph's acting friends who's pretending to be Dave Naughton so that he can appear cool.
Hey, listen, here's how I prove it. Who knows the lyrics to the Dr. Pepper jingle besides me? Very few. Wouldn't you like to be a pepper too?
Just you.
That's him.
That's it, yeah. And now, by the way, let me just say, who else would claim to have sung Making It?
I know.
I wish I could.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Who else would?
All right, David, what are you doing now?
Well, I'm about to blow out some candles, and they just keep growing. It's a bonfire now. Yeah.
I think he meant career-wise. I don't think he meant with your next 15 minutes.
I know. What is my next 15 minutes? Well, I'm currently residing in the high desert of Henderson, Nevada. Why, you ask?
Why?
Because my darling wife, Sean, got a job here and got married in August and moved to Henderson, just 12 miles from the Strip. In Las Vegas, mm-hmm. And I stay, you know, at least 13 miles away.
So you're just at home watching TV in your underwear?
Well, not exactly, you know, but I do have a film coming out called Brutal Massacre. It's a comedy about the making of a really terrible movie called Brutal Massacre.
That sounds funny.
And it is. It is kind of funny. I play the director, and we're trying to make this thing fly. It's for anyone that's ever been involved in an independent film, they'll really find it funny because everything that can go wrong does. And some really comic turns. Gunnar Hansen from the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre is a funny in this movie. And Jerry Bedknob from The 40-Year-Old Virgin. And
by the way, not to change the subject back on you, but your wife must be really hot if you moved to Henderson, Nevada.
Yeah,
I know. Henderson, you go, what the heck's going on in
Henderson?
And I'm still trying to find out.
She's got to be a 10 to get you to go to Henderson.
Well, Sean actually is. I think, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, she's probably an 11.
All right.
David, you're so close. She'd have to be a 10 to get David Naughton to even, you know, look at her, though. That's what I'm saying, with the chicks that he must have available.
I don't know if you mentioned the numbers that we turned today, just that we had birthdays. But, you know, when you're over 50, you become invisible to women. I have to tell you, you know.
The Dr. Pepper guy.
You.
I know, but you know what? You got to be, I think, over 35. I'd say 35 to even know who the Dr. Pepper guy
is. I'd say 45.
Stop it.
I'll take it a step further.
Say 45,
David, I'm saying you're so close to the Strip there in Vegas. You're a singer and dancer. Why aren't you performing at one of the casinos?
Well, it's, you know, I don't know if you've been. Casinos are things you visit, but to actually work in one?
Not good.
Oh, man. You know, first of all,
Let's talk secondhand smoke for a second.
Wow.
See, he's already working on his comedy chug for the Big Vegas act.
My Big Vegas act, yeah.
Well, we're out of time here, David, but I'm going to tell you, and this is I'm being absolutely truthful, is that every single year on February the 13th, Ralph and I pull out the Making It record, and we talk about what fans we are of yours, and we have been flying the David Naughton flag every year we've been on this show together, and to actually have you on today is a big thrill, man. Thank you to the friend of yours that called and tipped you off to this.
Yeah, Hon Hibbler, he's listening right now, and he called me. So listen, I sure appreciate it, guys. It's nice to be remembered, and you have a great day.
Thank you very much. Thank you, David.
See you, Dave. Bye-bye.
Bye. Wow, that's going to go down in history right there.
You're the man, Ralph. You are the man.
Why is he the man?
Because he got David Naughton on
our
show.
That's what I'm saying.
Who cares?
It's not what Rick Astley doing today, but
it's worse.
It's better.
All right. Take your phone calls next.
Making it.
1-800-520-1067. Right after this.
We're sorry. You missed first dial is 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
February 22nd through the 24th at the Orange County Fair and Expo Center is something called the Musink Tattoo Festival, put together by our friend Kat Von D. By the way, The Used is going to be there. Tiger Army just added David Naughton. So that's the lineup right
added.
There.
No more faking it.
Nope, not been added.
Tickets are available at all Ticketmaster locations or right now if you get on Kevin Bean's What It Do Nephew at 1-800-520-1067.
Let's start with Isaac in Los Angeles. Good morning, Isaac.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
Hey, Lisa.
Hi.
Hey, Bean, are you going to watch that UFO Hunters on the History Channel that's coming out pretty soon?
Is that a new show?
Yeah, it's a new show.
It is new. They do a lot of that stuff. They do a lot of that UFO Hunter stuff on the History Channel. I've seen a bunch of it. I haven't seen anything that's being promoted as being especially new and captivating and exciting in this special, but I'll probably check it out. I'm always interested to see the clips.
Here's the thing about Bean is that Bean pays such close attention to the news and the stories and stuff, there's nothing they could have that he doesn't know all about.
He should be writing UFO Hunters, not watching it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know how you can set up in your TiVo, you can set it up to tape keywords, any shows with keywords, and I have my TiVo is already set up for UFO, for flying saucer, for alien. I mean, I got all the keywords. So I do tend to tape a lot of those kinds of shows.
Any hot chicks in the keywords? Any?
I don't know that I currently have any.
Gay.
No, I don't think I currently have any, but I am keeping up with the UFOs.
Just the same. Cody in Hermosa Beach. Good morning.
Morning. What it do, nephew?
What it do,
baby boo?
Good morning.
What happened?
Yeah, I had a stroke. Go ahead.
There's a new show on, I don't know if you guys know, called Breaking Bad.
I love that show.
Do.
Psycho Mike told me about that. It's on the AMC.
It's a great show.
It's about a chemistry teacher that starts cooking meth with a pothead.
With a former student, yeah.
Takes place in the 909.
It's really good.
And his son is a window licker, as you know. And I can't stop laughing every time I see the show because I think his son looks and sounds exactly like Eli Manning. So I thought you guys would have a good laugh if you hadn't seen it yet.
Yeah, that's a great
Eli
show.
Eli was up for that role, but they went to the playoffs instead.
He's so busy.
Yeah.
Thank you, though, Cody. That is a fantastic show. If you're looking for something new, AMC, which is not a place I go for new TV shows, but...
But they had Mad Men before this.
Yes, they did.
And
yeah.
That kind of broke the ice for them, and now this new great show. So.
What's the actor's name from Malcolm in the Middle who stars in that, Ralph?
Bryan Cranston.
Yeah, that dude's a good actor.
He's great.
Yeah.
Jake in Anaheim, good morning.
Hey, how's it going? What it do, nephew? Hi, Lisa May.
Hi, Jake.
What it do?
Hey, I just want to know why Kevin and Bean, why you guys are such D-bags and not answering my emails. That's what I want to know.
Why are D-bags?
Mm-hmm. What emails are you talking about, Jake?
Well, I emailed Bean. I called in a couple months ago and told Bean that he could get a full behind-the-scenes tour of the post office with my dad. And then I emailed him again to, you know, let him know again. Nothing back. And then, Kevin, I emailed you about, hey there, V-word on, on YouPorn. And nothing.
Yeah, we don't like you. I think.
Apparently.
Is that true, Bean? Can I speak for you?
No, I mean, it's a very generous offer, Jake. I'm not in L.A. very often to take a tour of a post office, but if I were and I had the time and wanted to do it, I'd certainly get back to you. I appreciate the offer.
Would it have hurt you to write Jake back that response, Bean?
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, Bean.
How about a little love for the listeners?
I apologize, Jake. I mean, obviously we cannot respond to every single email we get, but we do the best we can.
I'm not apologizing. I don't like Jake. I don't like his attitude.
You are
I don't like his attitude. I think Anaheim would be better without him.
Wow.
You know? It's just a gut.
Sorry,
it's just a gut
Jake.
Feeling.
Sorry, man.
But do yourself a favor. Jake does bring up one good tip. Go to YouPorn and check out Hey There Vagina. It's certainly something you ought to own.
Is there a new video?
I think it's new. Right, Mike? This is a new one?
I haven't watched it.
But okay. I'm assuming it's clips of something else not shot by you that goes to that song, I'm guessing.
That's correct. Yes.
I don't know. I never read the guy's email, so I don't know what I'm talking about.
Because you hate him. Yeah. You block Jake.
I don't know anything about him. Haven't read the email, but thank you, Jake. Lauren in Los Angeles. Good morning.
Good morning. What did you, nephew?
What did you?
What did you?
Okay, so there's this new study going on in the UK where they pulled a bunch of women and they compiled a list of male names that women associate with having a big penis and having a small penis.
Okay,
right.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. Yeah, there's 10 names on the big list, and the number one name is Dave.
Dave!
No, you're kidding me.
Yeah, what? Magnum!
Get out.
Magnum, get out.
The number one name that women associate with big penises is Dave?
Yeah, which is no game and the big penis. How can women
Dave,
say no?
Get away from her, Dave.
You're humping her chair like a beagle.
It's like he's seen people hump other women, but he's not quite sure how it works.
I think they move like this when they do it.
Lauren, no is Bean on the small list?
How
no,
dare.
No, there's no
Bean. You know, you'd think maybe. I don't know.
This is a British list, by the way. It doesn't correspond to America.
That's right. It's the opposite.
Yeah, I think it's metric, right? So it's the opposite. Dave actually means tiny in America.
Right.
Yeah. It was a lot easier to make fun of Dave before he started pulling a former Miss Double D, by the way.
I know. Now he's all full of himself.
Just wait. It's a matter of time.
It's all cyclical.
It'll come back.
Yeah.
Lauren, what were you going to say? You were going to tell us the names on the small list?
Hello?
Do you know the names on the small list?
Yeah, it's Ray, Brian, Nigel, Frank, Keith, Jeremy, Josh, Barry, Dennis, and Nick.
Nick is the smallest.
Nick!
Hey, that's not funny. I'm new.
Why do you talk about my penis like that?
I don't want to be a licker window licker.
I'm not good at anything.
I'm Nick 3.0. Lauren, that's a fantastic call.
It's okay, because I'm over sex anyways.
I want to thank our special guests on today's Kevin and Bean Show, including actor Terry O'Quinn. He's so great as John Locke on the TV show Lost. That's coming back for a new episode tomorrow night at 9 on ABC. Mm-hmm. Also, thanks to D.L. Hughley for joining us, too. Tomorrow night, you can see him on Fox. He is hosting the 39th annual NAACP Image Awards. Thanks to actress Rachel Bilson for joining us from Jumper in theaters everywhere tomorrow. Mm-hmm.
Who else?
And thanks to the great David Naughton, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right.
Us.
Come on.
From his home in Henderson, Nevada. Goods.
They stand when I walk through the neighborhood.
You guys, I think we should bail out of this right now. Huh? I just know where this is heading.
No more thinking it.
I'm going to have that damn song in my head all day.
I'm making it.
Well, Jan writes
cool
an email
song,
again.
You think? Yep.
Yes, I do, Rodney. Thank you. Jan writes
a tempo positive song.
It is.
All right, Rodney.
Jan says, "Oh, good. I've had the soundtrack running through my mind for the last week of 'I'm effing Matt Damon' by Sarah Silverman. Now I'm replacing it with 'Making It.' Thanks a lot, a-holes."
Yeah, that's a bad choice.
That's what we're here for.
Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean Show. We have our final tickets for Kevin and Bean's Love on the Rock singles party, as it is tomorrow night. So we'll give those away tomorrow morning. We also have a sexpert on the program. Sadie Allison will be back. She's written a book that I can't say the name of.
Good.
Or I don't understand the name of it exactly.
Wait, what's her book called?
I can't say it.
He can't say it. He just told you.
Really?
That.
It has a name that is filthy that you can't say on the radio?
I don't know the name of it, to be honest. But the name that I wrote on my page, I can't say.
Keith has made up his own title that he can't say.
But I can't say.
If you're going to make up a name, make it be something we can say on the air.
But then it's not
but
funny.
It's wrong.
It's not funny.
And it'll be wrong. Because we'll be making it up.
I don't make it up just to say it on the air.
Oh, you said an interesting story with it.
The idea of Bean's future, Bean's perfect future, an author, David Levy, who wrote a book called Love and Sex with Robots.
Oh, I can't wait.
In the future, you will not only have sex with robots, you will also fall in love with them and share your life with them.
The time has come.
My prediction, Bean will have as hard a time finding a robot to love him back as he does a
but
human.
But you can just buy a robot, though, can't you?
I imagine, yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
I imagine.
It's true.
I can't wait.
Special, kill you.
Special movie beat, because I believe all the movies coming out this weekend are on tomorrow,
Indeed.
Come out tomorrow. Dumbest Man Alive, Clipper Darrell, and a bunch of other stuff tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Cat Corbett's next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock. Stick around for some Guns N' Roses, Linkin Park. We got Blur, Radiohead, Green Day, and more after this on K-Rock.